Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson.
Hey.
I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for a very special episode, the fifth anniversary celebration of the Film Vault. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for making the previous 5 years leading up to today, tonight, so special
this
for
week,
us.
Brian,
yeah, this week, this episode,
week.
This episode.
And thank you, Brian, for keeping track of everything. I had no idea.
It just randomly occurred to me because
I still find it arbitrary, but...
What do you mean?
It's arbitrary.
What's arbitrary?
The fact that it's been going on for 5 years because I have a few... What are we doing here? We're doing top fives?
That will be the topic this week. Top five, top fives. We'll give our own personal favorite top five lists we've done in the past.
I'm going to need to take it down.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
There
might be pontificating.
A couple top fives.
There might be waxing.
Maybe one, maybe two of my top fives are actually from before, like predate the 5 year mark. So,
but that's not possible. We've redone all those, haven't we?
No, we haven't. No.
Really?
I don't believe we have.
Well, I'm looking forward to this.
My list was kind of incomplete, too. I had a half-assed it. I half-assed it.
That's not like you. That's not like you.
No, I never half-assed it for actual real episodes when we're talking about real films and then talking about stuff that's important that's going on.
But these are some of our favorite films.
But this is like, I can half-ass us. Half-ass us all day.
But this is a film talk. And you're half-assing our listeners. You're half-assing our listeners.
No, it's still going to be good.
Okay.
It's going to be good.
We'll see.
Can I have any crossover? Can I have any crossover? I got top 10, top fives.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I don't have 10 top fives, but I do have...
I have 10.
Several top flick fessions. I have several top movies we've gambled on.
How long is this episode going to be?
This is going to be a long one.
You know what bothers me?
It might not be a long one.
Well,
there's clips.
The listener can look at their phone or the computer or however they're streaming this, and they know exactly how long it's going to be. They're in the light. I'm in the dark. You're in the dark.
I'm in the dark as well. I have no idea. Logan tells us we have clips. We have things that have been sent in, submissions.
Mm-hmm.
Psyched.
I'm excited about next week.
What's that?
Next week, I get to talk about Roar. Fuck yes!
Oh, yeah, and I'll be
very
talking
excited.
About Deer Hunter and big summer preview next week. That's one of the biggest episodes of the year.
Top five summer preview. And you know what I learned in my research is what we used to do, and we need to do more often.
What?
Even though I don't really like the show to be the Negative Nelly show, but
bottom five?
Top five films to miss this holiday season.
No.
Top five films to miss this summer.
Top five films to miss.
Not bad. We need to bring that back.
Are you going to sprinkle that in?
No, but I mean, we should. I figure that out that we used to do that when looking at the. Anyone have any idea how many episodes we've done? I feel like that's like the more substantial.
It says right here.
Substantial.
Episode. That's
number.
Funny because I feel the opposite. I feel like there. I see people.
Because people take weeks off.
But I see people celebrating their 100th episode or 1,000th episode or whatever the episode is. And it's like, that just means you release a lot of episodes. You record every day. And
we've done way more than 189. Because we do 52 episodes.
That's 189 of this incarnation of it.
Yeah,
but we do 52 a week. I mean, a year. That'd be tough.
We're well over 200.
Right. Oh, well over 300, I would say.
There you
go. Okay. All right. Well, anyways, let's get to it. Brian, take the lead. Please lead us down a path that's good.
Wait, we got to start off with something very important.
Okay.
A list of films that all should see, excluding The Blind, will be proclaimed by two guys. One.
Wonderful. Dig those horns. Hey, Trevor, what's his last name?
Trevor Shan.
Oh, thank you so much, Trevor. For the first thanks of the evening goes to Trevor for a great song. It's funny, the song kind of...
He didn't write it, though. He just performed it.
That's right. The lyrics were sent in. Oh, man, now I forget the lyrics were sent
in. It's all
right,
buddy. It's okay.
I tried really hard to find out the guy who sent in the lyrics. I dug through old emails. And
you know who you are.
Thank you, Doug, for writing that song. Fantastic.
Doug through emails.
You said Doug.
He did say Doug. But it's funny how that timestamps the show. I remember everyone like guessing my full list for the thing was like, I'll bet we can guess Brian's full list every week. And it was actually pretty accurate.
Brian has seen double the movies in his lifetime since then.
That is actually true. That leads us into flick fashions.
Also, we're no longer on an orange couch.
That's
also,
true.
Using the word gay. Okay back then.
Yeah, okay. That is just a few short years ago.
I don't know if I would let that fly nowadays.
Yeah.
The original version had faggot in it and we said no.
No. Yeah. Transformers was faggot. It didn't rhyme.
No, it wasn't that part. No, it was a different bridge.
Oh, okay. Okay. That, Anderson, leads us into Flick Fashions.
Wait, should we also talk about some of the new things that are releasing with this episode?
Should we do that at the end?
I have no idea what's going on. This is kind of fun. I feel like a listener.
Let's do it at the end.
All right, let's do it at the end.
Let's do it at the end. But keep those in mind. Have them.
Stay tuned for
what new things are
things you probably already know about.
That's right.
Oh, do I know? I don't know what the hell's going on.
Anderson, just float along.
This
just
is enjoyable.
On. It's all wrong. It's just float along all right.
I feel like this, you know, like on your birthday, that you expected to do stuff? No.
No.
Right?
Well, I mean, no, you know what, Anderson? As an adult, you are expected to do stuff.
Fuck
you got to throw a party for you. You got to throw the party.
Well, then I don't want a party.
Buy the booze. You got to buy the ice.
It feels so weird doing work to celebrate myself. I never
We're
do
not
that,
celebrating nor, ourselves. We're
no,
looking
for my
back.
Birthday. I'm talking about for my birthday.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were talking about
that. I did have a big birthday party at
you
my
did.
House.
It was great.
Once.
I was
my
there.
My wife did it all. I wouldn't have done that. That would have been uncomfortable.
You know that I do a party every year for my birthday, but it's...
You do?
But it's the softball thing, because I like people to get together, like the social aspect of everyone getting together.
You like the celebration of Brian, is what you
we
like.
You've been to the party multiple times. Do we celebrate?
Celebration of Brian. Yeah.
How much celebration of Brian
does that? I think I went 1 year, and it was when you were pretty sick, and I remember people saying, let him get a hit. And then, like, they did, like you kind of, like, bunted it, and yep. people were, like, pretending Bad News burying it. Yeah.
Yeah, they fell down because of the shock of the...
That all happened. True story. 100%
not
true.
Not even close
Logan can collaborate.
I will say what's true is I actually considered 1 year buying an MVP trophy and already inscribing it to myself, getting it etched.
A man who thinks that,
how
whether
funny
he follows
would that be?
Through or
how
not,
hilarious.
Is a man who every year celebrates himself
no,
at least once
comical.
A year.
That's comical. Uh-huh. That's not real. That's comical.
You have your parents show up. You're like, remember when you banged 40 years ago, Mom and Dad?
I don't believe I said that. It should be very.
I'm sorry. We're getting off track.
We're really getting off track.
Back to the 5-year-old incarnation of this program. Many films we're seeing.
Let's talk about Flick Fashions for a second.
Oh,
and this was your idea.
Such good times.
Flick Fashions was your idea. Poorly named, but well-conceived. Good idea. You know why? Because Flick Fashions really has opened up
What would
my,
you like to
film.
Call it there?
There's nothing better to call it.
Okay.
It's a bad amount of
We're confessing the flicks that
confessing
we've seen.
Confessing the flicks we've seen
Very
last
important.
Week.
And I
typically
stand
three
by.
Per week.
I think it's the most important part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, we're not relevant. I mean, without talking about movies that... are either far-reaching that may not get a whole lot of chatter, yeah. and or movies that are obviously in theaters now or recently became available via the old streaming on the fuck flicks. I think that Flick Fashion is the most valuable part of our show. If I was a listener of the program, I think I would always listen to the first segment. Sometimes listen to the others.
Interesting.
That's me.
I do agree with you. I think it personalizes our show. It sort of is like a, on the one hand, it's like a movie diary. It's like, here's what I'm watching. Here's what I watched. Here's what I dug. Here's what I think
well,
you'll
we get
like.
To report on it. And,
yeah.
You know, and I'm constantly searching for movies that get me going. And it's great to have this outlet to not only, because I used to do it even before I did this show with you, but I would just, you know, talk to my friends about it. And it's great to be able to tell other people about it. I love it.
Now, do you have, it. Have you written down the list of, not list, but the best movies you flick fest in the past 5 years?
No, I didn't
okay,
do that.
Okay, because I did.
Supposed to, was I supposed to do
you
that?
You were supposed to do that.
Where is my, do I have a checklist of things I was supposed to bring to camp?
You don't have to do anything. It's our
I
show.
Wasn't aware
you
of this.
Do whatever you want.
I would love to do a list, a standalone list of top 5 films we've seen since doing this show. I don't know why we don't do that.
Well, this is sort of the de facto list.
Let's not do that then. Let's keep that for an actual show. We can do that on another show.
What did you envision going here? What did you envision happening here for Flick Fashion? Just talk about how
top 5 movies that you've made me watch?
That's the gambling part of it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how things work in the world. Let me do some research real quick. I'll be right back.
You and Miss Movie should do a show.
We did. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I was not called that. I had some terrible name of it in my head, which I'm not going to reveal to you nor the listeners. All right, what are the best movies you flick fest, Brad?
Well, I flick fest movies that are in theaters at the time, and the three best have been.
Mm-hmm.
The third best
the
movie
three
I flick
fest. We're only doing three? Okay.
Well, we flick
okay.
fest three films.
Okay.
Looper. Looper was the third best film of Flickfest. I Flickfested in October of 2013 on the top 5 movies you wish you could see again for the first time episode. I loved Looper. I loved that it was a fresh take on a kind of a well-worn genre.
Time travel
movie, and I thought it was so fresh. And
it was pretty fly, too.
Yeah.
Fresh and fly. Yeah, it was a great movie. I love Looper.
It was my favorite movie of that year, actually.
That was three for you. I don't even know how I'd find my Flickfest list, Brian.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd go about finding that list.
It'd be great if you did, because the listeners probably appreciate hearing the three best movies.
I'm wondering how I go about finding that list. Mm. I don't even know where I'd find it. Mm. How would I find it?
For me, I always email my list to myself, so I have a list of everything.
That's a lot of emails. You
it is,
man,
but I have Gmail, and I have a lot of capacity.
Uh-huh.
I just sniffed over the capacity that Gmail gives everyone.
All right, what's the second best movie you flick fast there, Bri?
50-50. Also, with
really?
Joseph Gordon.
Come
Levitt.
On.
Yeah.
Come on.
Maybe I connected with it on a personal level,
really?
But that's what makes Confessions great.
Better than Looper?
Better than Looper.
Oh,
slightly.
Come on.
Slightly better than Looper.
You're making me nauseous right now.
But Confessions on the top five biopics episode in October 2011.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Another movie that I've confessed in October, this time of just last year, 2014, Whiplash is the best movie I've seen and Flickfest since we started doing this show.
Really?
Yeah, it really is.
The last 10 years. Or five years.
Yeah. The best
before.
New movie I've seen. Now, I have seen classic
oh,
movies,
Jesus
too, that
Christ.
I've caught
Here
up on.
Here we go,
on.
Waxing.
I saw The French Connection for the first time. Uh-huh. That was in top five wedding scenes in June of 2014.
What made you watch The French Connection?
Did you? I don't think you assigned it to me.
I may not have.
I think it was streaming, and it was a classic movie I'd never seen, and I finally got around to it.
Okay.
French Connection. Young at Heart, top five prison films in April of 2011. Flickfest. Love Young at Heart. If you guys haven't seen that, believe it's still streaming. And finally caught up with Toy Story many years after the fact on top five corrections / updates. We did a whole episode dedicated to updating and correcting top fives in October of 2010. This is where you do your top three. Here we go.
I only did two, Brian.
Okay.
I come in with two. One of which is a movie that I was shocked that I had not seen. That was Charlie.
Oh, Charlie, from the 70s.
Based on the book, Flowers for Algernon, a fantastic movie, and somehow it eluded me. Number one, the best movie that I flicked fast that I did not see in the theaters. I missed it somehow, tracked it down, watched it online. God, I love this movie. We need to talk about Kevin.
Yeah, how many years?
We need to fucking talk about Kevin, Brian.
Yeah, that eluded you for some reason. You finally flicked
fast. It looked drab. They didn't know how to, you know, it's a tough movie to market, and I saw a trailer for it, you know, and I might, you know, it was in theaters. It felt like a heavy drama, and it was that, but it was so well done. We need to talk about Kevin. Those are two that I came up with on the fly, but I love that, Charlie, and I know that We Need to Talk About Kevin would be in my top three for sure.
What's the best new movie you've seen in the last 5 years in theaters? Other ones for me were like The Fighter, The Social Network, In a World All Is Lost.
There Will Be Blood.
That's more than 5 years.
That's more than 5 years. The best movie of like the 2010s, 20-aughts? I don't know, Brian. I need to do a little research there.
Right,
I need to do some
you.
Research. I'm sure I would just have to go back and look at my vaulties for the last 5 years, and I'd come up with one.
That's what I did.
Huh. Well, where is this email where I was asked to do this? Wait, did you come up with this and tell me how to do it last week when we were hammered? Was that when it was discussed?
I don't believe I came up with it last week. Logan, this episode's off to a swimming start. Can we hear a solid clip. Let's hear something good.
I knew this was going to be an issue.
The listeners are tuning out.
Brian, when you have... No, they're fine. when you have something set in your head, mm-hmm. you'll learn to get past this with age and maturity. You have an idea of how it's going to go. And then it doesn't go that way.
Right.
There's no way that this could go the way that you want it to go.
Of course not. It's already gone way off course.
When you bring in clips, like they can't be played the way that you want them to be played. Right. You just got to let it go. I mean, let whatever happens, happens. All right.
That's why I'm excited for the meat of the episode, which is always the top five list.
The meat of the episode?
That's right.
Oh, was I supposed to come up with a top five?
You were supposed to come up with a top five. Amazing. All right, Logan, what do you have to play first? Play something.
All right. This has been played before on the Film Vault.
What is it?
It's a nice collection of some of the more savory things that Anderson has said over
Ooh.
The years.
Oh, not this.
And it's from listener Eric Fusco, who's a frequent contributor to the Film Vault.
Taking of Pelham 1-3-1-2-3, the soundtrack is the bed, I believe. Yeah. I don't know if you're like a Nazi like I am, Bren. He goes, you know what I do when I'm real depressed? I watch Roots Backwards. First time I tasted semen, I was 7 years old. Right. Look, my balls are out, and I'm scratching them, and now I'm shoving them in this girl's face.
That's my least favorite. I don't like that one.
The fuck is wrong with you? Every goddamn week. You can't use the N-word without everyone looking at you sideways.
Screw it, try it. Give it a shot.
I wouldn't suck your lousy dick if I was suffocating and there's oxygen in your balls.
He's what I think of when I think of that movie. I think of him and Giant Blue Dick. Watchmen.
Sure, Brian. You go ahead.
Make your joke.
Solid. Oh, that made the Flickfest so much better.
Okay. We've got other compilations coming up later in the episode.
Love it.
All right.
Anything else you want to say about Flick Fashions?
I love Flick Fashions. I can't wait for many more years of doing Flick Fashions and talking about the three best movies seen or three movies worthy of talking about. Mm-hmm. It's you know, rarely I'll find a movie that's so should be avoided that I'll bring to the forefront and we'll spend a little time on it. But okay. Mostly it's just like, hey, these are great movies. Let's check them out. You may or may not love them. Mm. Let's go.
Any more thoughts on Flick Fashions?
I think that we get out. Let's go. I mean, this whole show, this episode's going to be too long, if anything. So that's I feel like this is a nice short Flick Fashion for a change.
Coming up next.
Yeah.
We will get into the top five top fives next.
Go ahead, smile for a little bit. We got one life, so we living it. Even if the world ain't listening, live it up, what if this is it? Yeah.
Go ahead, Anderson, you're eating right now. Your mouth is full of food, full of sandwich. And that's funny because for the first time that I can ever recall, someone clicked through our Amazon banner about a whole bunch of groceries through Amazon Pantry. Amazon, you know, sells groceries through Amazon Pantry. And I'm going to read the grocery list to you right now. Here's what was purchased through Amazon click-through. Amazon Pantry purchases include Betty Crocker fruit roll-ups, brisk raspberry iced tea, cinnamon toast crunch, frosted flakes, honey nut Cheerios, Kleenex Ultra Soft, Progresso rich and hearty soup, chicken and home-style noodles, Red Bull sugar-free energy drink, and V8 V-Fusion pomegranate blueberry juice. Maybe someone has a cold. They got chicken soup, and they got Kleenex, and they got V8. Get well soon, if that's in fact the case. Other things that were purchased. Oh, of course, it's the anniversary episode, so we got to talk about back-to-back World War Tramps t-shirt.
World War America.
That was purchased. Thanks for getting that, you guys. Other things, six-pack of cloth diapers in assorted colors, a Medela pump, advanced breast pump backpack. Wow, wear that shit. Canon lens for your Canon SLR camera. What is this here? A Bose speaker system. Shibari intimate lubricant. Water-based, of course. Military energy gum, Anderson. You know that such a thing existed? Military energy gum. Makes sense,
right?
Yeah,
it gives you energy.
Yeah, if you're doing like a night ops, you got to stay alert.
Mm-hmm.
A Dyson upright vacuum cleaner. Blue Rhino mosquito eliminator. One plus acre coverage. That is a big item. What is this here? Chainsaw bar and chain oil. Oil for your chainsaw.
Why do you say that with such confusion? You're not a very blue collar guy.
No, because it says Oregon chainsaw bar and chain oil quart. So I had to kind of get the words right. I'm not very blue collar. What is this here? Bookshelf. Yeah, someone got a wall bookshelf. Oh, NHL Pittsburgh Penguins logo T-shirt. Penguins win today.
It's painful. Shut your mouth.
I didn't. I don't know.
Wait, time.
Detroit Red Wings road jersey. White 54. Who's 54 on the Red Wings?
I don't know. Okay. I hate them. I don't know.
And finally.
Who is it? Helms? Who is it?
54.
No, I don't know.
They'll look after this. An Incinerator household garbage disposal. Thank you, guys. We're getting the garbage disposal. Anderson, here's the movies.
I'm looking up 54 movies. Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, my God.
Here are the films that are clicked through. Here are the films that are clicked through. This is the last time I saw you. Force Majeure, yeah. Brian Flick fest it really well. I was kind of lukewarm on it, but that's that foreign film all
just
about the Cowardly Father.
Dark comedy.
I could have
been
called Cowardly Father. Adventures of Babysitters and Missions Are Done, man.
True.
Keith Coogan?
I don't know.
That's the actor who said that. The Dishes Are Done. Amoris Perros. Oh, fantastic movie. Fantastic. I call it the Mexican Pulp Fiction, Brian. Oh. You seen that Amoris
Perros? I've not seen Amoris Perros.
You need to see that film, Brian. Mm-hmm. Calvary was clicked through. That's where a little quote that we heard me saying earlier about tasting semen for the first time. That's the first thing you hear in that movie. First time I tasted semen. It was ages.
I heard that.
District 9, Dreamscape. Oh, Dreamscape! Look at that, Luke! Dreamscape was clicked through. Fuck to the yes. Foul Play.
Maleficent.
Overboard? Why would someone click through Overboard?
Overboard's a good movie.
Clicking through, but Overboard. Room 237. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. The Babadook.
Oh, Logan, the Babadook.
Just watched it last night.
Oh!
What'd you think, bud?
You stared in the mirror for 2 hours.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good, right? The Doris Day and Rock Hudson Comedy Collection, Pillow Talk, Lover Came Back, Send Me No Flowers. Somebody got something for their mom, for Mother's Day.
How about that?
The Lincoln Lawyer and the Players Club.
Interesting.
Put the Players Club there.
Interesting. Thank you guys for clicking through. We appreciate it. Thanks for clicking through for the last 5 years. You've made this show possible. Literally, that is not an exaggeration. We appreciate it. And now more show. Hello, it's Gaspar Noé. Is it Noé or No? I'm going to say No. Gaspar Noé. And this is the Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Welcome back. Logan, how were the feature artists picked this week? What was your selection criteria?
They're ones that I tend to have liked more over the years.
Thank you, guys, for tickling Logan's fancy.
They're mostly fans that were really enthusiastic about being feature artists.
Awesome.
They retweeted the episodes when they were featured. And
thanks, you guys. Well, you have heard and you will hear from the Sanderlings, Kojak, Aurora, Sons of August, the M-Tet, Dead Cat Hat, and Tyler Stenson. Thanks to everyone who sent in music for the last 5 years. The show sounds much, much, much better because of it. And thanks to you guys for being a part of this five-year anniversary episode. Anderson, we premiered on April 23rd, 2010. How about that?
This just in. Mm-hmm. No one wears 54 for the Detroit Red Wings, so it's a mystery.
Maybe it's like a retired number. In fact, that would make sense, right? Or personalized.
When I Google 54, number 54 Detroit Red Wings, I bet you didn't see me talking about number 54 Detroit Red Wings in the 5 year anniversary episode.
I did not see that coming. That wasn't.
You're anticipating every single line, every single exchange to be pure gold.
No. Actually, yeah. I was anticipating. I actually had the thought. Ironically, I was like, "How's Anderson going to passive aggressively submarine this whole thing?" And I was like, "I'm going to prepare myself for it, so I'm not disappointed." Because You're right, old Brian, younger Brian may have been disappointed or thrown off my game earlier by your blatant disregard for Flick Fashion.
I honestly did not know, Brian.
I know that's what I mean.
But how was I supposed to know? I mean, we got to communicate here. When did you tell me?
That's true.
When did you tell me? Was I supposed to just no? It's not. Was I supposed to just figure that out on my own? I guess if I really thought about it for a long time, I'd be like, I bet that we're supposed to talk about our favorite. I guess that's what we would do there. Mm.
It had been hard.
It had been.
Yeah.
I campaigned hard.
In fact, if you remember the campaigning, the end result of this campaign.
I said, we need to do Flick Fashion. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about movies that I've seen because there's some good ones especially since I saw Roar, I would love to see it. Talk about it. And you said, no, we're going to forego Flick Fashion. That's what I remember hearing.
Yeah. And what did I say right after that? Instead of Flick Fashion, we'll talk about.
I tune you out as soon as
okay. We obviously had the conversation.
Okay. I don't remember it. I'm not being passive aggressive. Don't call me that. I'll prove it by punching you, and that's aggressive.
That's just aggressive. There's nothing passive about that.
Let's not hurl insults.
I've moved past it.
Okay.
Let's talk about our top fives. So I know you're ready for this.
We're supposed to do that.
God damn it.
You think we have any crossover?
We probably will, actually. We'll have some crossover. Mm-hmm. I'm sure to hear the listener top five. Oh, by the way, Logan tweeted out, Facebooked out, social media'd out. I don't know if that's a term. He asked the listeners, hey, what top fives do you want to hear coming up in the future?
Yeah.
And he got a bunch of votes and a bunch of suggestions. Good. I propose to you, Anderson, at the end of the episode, whatever the winner is, whatever the listeners want to hear most, we make that our next top five after summer preview. That we commit ourselves. I don't know what it is.
Okay.
We commit ourselves to that.
Sounds good to me. Okay. Let's do that.
Top fives. It's a point of pride, and I think it's pretty awesome that we have never repeated a top five since we've been doing this as a podcast. And I know you think that someday we'll have to, and maybe someday we will. But I like very much that we've never actually gone back and gone over familiar ground.
Yeah, other than the odd episode where we do top five streaming.
Now. Oh yeah, of course, yeah, summer preview.
Summer
and such
preview.
Like
yeah,
that.
We have some that are recurring.
Ooh,
but yes.
I have an idea. Another it just came to me. Whatever the listeners' favorite top five is from the past, whoever finishes number one on this, Logan, we did this. What's your favorite top five from the past?
Yeah. So there's also a listener top five.
Okay, whatever the listener top number one is, we redo that one.
Head is swimming.
We redo five. That one.
I perhaps.
Okay, we'll see.
I think the listeners would be very happy with that.
Okay. Okay. Number five.
Number five for me. It's 5C.
Oh,
I call it that. It was top five cult films.
Yes.
We did. This is October 22nd, 2009. Yeah. My top three
that
were...
That predates... Wait, Freaks, was I there?
Freaks, Harold and Maude, and Superstar, the Karen Carpenter story.
Who did you do this episode with?
Mike Carano's number three was Split Image. He also had the Star Wars...
This is what I was expecting.
Special. His number one was Putney Swope.
Amazing. Amazing.
Miss Movies had Edward Scissorhands. Oh God, Miss Movies, what's wrong with you? Big Lebowski was her number two. Cult films. What the fuck, Miss Movies?
Can it stand as a shining example of what a good person I am that I never bring up that you did the show while I was dying of cancer without asking, without even not asking.
Oh, wow, this really bothers you.
No, that's what I'm saying. What a good person I am that it doesn't bother me. I think it's perfectly fine.
That was my number 11. Doesn't even count. All right, I have a solid top 10 here. But no, I thought that it was smart to keep the show moving forward until you were better. That's what most shows would do, Brian.
That's like
You not returning texts or calls or anything at this point?
It's like the guy who like gets caught with like someone's, I don't know, laptop. It's like, I was keeping it warm for you.
Wait, is that really how you feel?
I don't mind. I don't care.
No. You do because you're touting. You're saying I'm a really great person because I don't mind. When obviously you do.
I don't mind.
Have
I ever brought it up before?
Yeah, kind of begrudgingly. Yeah, you get angry.
I never.
About it.
No, I don't.
That's why Mike Carano is your nemesis.
I like Carano. I text him more than I text you.
Threatened. Mm. Sure, he appreciates that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he does. It gets back to me though.
Number 10 for me. Top 10. Films to miss. That was a good episode. I think we should bring that back. Just the idea.
Wait, what is it called?
Top films to miss in said season.
Oh, but those two films like summer films to miss.
Right.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't remember that. Was that like pre-podcast?
Oh, wait, that was when I was doing it with Corona.
Oh, fuck.
Kidding.
I think it might have been.
Where the hell is it? I don't have... You know what I should have done, Brian, is I should have... You know what? You go ahead. Give you number 5.
Number 5 for me is a tie. So my top 5...
I bet we have one crossover. I think you and I are going to agree on one.
There may be some pontificating. I love the top 5s that involve a little... not even so much research as they involve a little bit of like creative thinking. Like anyone can look up the top 5 villains or the top 5 fathers or the top 5 this and that. Anything that can be sort of researched is like, all right, that's fine. I guess we can do that. I love the top 5 that makes you think and like make an argument for something and like say, this is my take on this. And I love hearing your takes on it.
Sorry.
Was it from Toronto?
It was from Toronto.
Okay, because I don't remember that at all.
I'm sorry.
See, this is what I expected. The Flick Freshens thing kind of came
out. It's good. We're going to get good. Don't worry.
I'm ready.
Don't sweat it, buddy.
I'm ready.
It's all right. Okay.
So number 5 for me is a tie with two episodes we had with guests, uh-huh. One being Worst Movie-Going Experiences with Mike Catherwood from May of 2012.
Yeah.
Love that one because my top 5, it doesn't matter what my top 5 are, but I love hearing your guys' stories of horrible movie-going experiences, audience members yelling, you yelling at audience members. Mm-hmm. It was quite delightful, and hearing those stories was great. And then tied with that was Top 5 Philosophical Films with Pete Holmes from November of 2012. I loved hearing stories of why you found films philosophical, what you found interesting about philosophical films, questions that were raised about yourself, about the way you looked at the world, about the movies themselves.
I forgot all about that episode. That was a solid one.
My top 5 was, I previously mentioned Looper at number 5, wow. Sleepers, Vanilla Sky,
Sleepers.
Frailty, and Groundhog Day. Some philosophical films.
Let's not try and say Groundhog Day is philosophical.
That's the was my number 1.
I know. Okay. I know. I remember being annoyed then. Yeah. I also had worst movie going experiences right there, Brian, and my my number 10A.
Shit, we already had a crossover.
Yeah.
I love that episode. Stories are great. By the way, pretty much all these episodes are available, Anderson, right? AndersonandBrian.com, Logan?
Yep.
Can you find them? Okay, cool. Use the old search bar there.
All of them except for the Ace broadcast.
Yes, days. the pre independent days.
We're going to be working on something with that.
You're working on that. Anderson, you're 5, 10, whatever you want to call it.
way back when, Brian.
You and Mike Carano were hosting?
On Carano. You know what? This is... You know what? Have we done love scenes in the new...
Sex scenes. Like in the Ace era days. Because that's what made us do top 5 sexiest bleak endings. Because we figured anything with sex in the title sells.
I love doing top 5 love scenes, and we need to bring that back. So it just as a mention, as something to do in the future.
Okay,
that's on the list. I'm going to cross it, Brian. I'm not going to say what that list is because it's good.
Wait, are you on your number 4 already?
Yeah, I'm on number something.
We're supposed to be pairing these with my clips.
Sorry, buddy.
Anderson, do it. Have you done your first one or what? Have you?
Hey, I'm on 4. I'm on 4 with you.
Okay, well let's hear a clip then, because I did number 5 just then.
All right, these clips.
So you said to go ahead and do. I was following you. You said go ahead.
I thought you told me to do what.
I think after 5 years we'd know.
Yeah,
what we're
this
doing.
Is this. You want to go first?
All right, so here's a clip.
These clips are from.
Should have done that.
The top 5 moments in Film Vault history, as voted on by our listeners.
Oh.
So number 5 is from July of 2012, from an episode titled "Top 5 Movies You Loved When You Were 9" with guest Gil from the Mutant Season.
I think I know what this is.
The funny thing about this clip is that you guys tried to go the entire episode without saying the F word or any
expletives. Oh, that's
right.
Expletives.
It was the
episode.
Very first clean episode of the film.
I forgot about that.
And this is you two struggling to do so.
So you were more inappropriate than I was.
I disagree.
Well, you're absolutely more. You said the fuck word.
I never said it. We have no... God damn it, Anderson.
You said the fuck word.
We didn't have any cursing in this episode.
Oh, well, you said the fuck word. He said it.
He meant to say flick, but he added the
no,
U.
I said fick.
He said fuck.
This is terrible. Is supposed to be one episode without any cursing.
You know what? Let's bleep it.
It'll be clean. I'm not going to let it slide.
Okay, you're going to bleep?
Just for this episode.
You're going to bleep every time I say fuck?
Okay.
Okay.
God damn it.
You know, in the beginning
I didn't
of the show,
say
moments ago, I said, hey now.
Zeitlin, starring, oh, fuck this name.
Oh, fuck her, yeah. But her name is Hush Puppy. Oh, wait, we're not saying fuck!
Quvenzhané.
God damn it! Logan.
Quvenzhané, what her fucking name is.
Brian, stop cussing.
Sorry.
You're making it difficult on 14%.
That's right. Logan's earning that 15% this week, I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. I feel bad writing this check.
He's like a crab fisherman.
That's right.
Yeah. Hauling those fucks off the board.
Quvenzhané.
Other than the line that she gives to the beast at the very end, right. Which was fan-fucking-tastic. Sorry. I'm sorry, Logan. As much as I love our friend, what the fuck is his
Seth
name?
Seth
MacFarlane. I'm sorry.
Writer
Logan.
Director.
I'm sorry. Ton of douche fucks. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Logan. I'm seriously not trying
this
to do
is
that.
Tough. What
the hell? Logan, you're worthless.
Well, we knew that.
Here's another one for you. Fuck.
Yeah.
Now I'm obsessed. And the rest, rest of the episode. Don't say shit. Me being all
oh,
timely.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Timely and shit.
Brian, ringing in a scant 131 minutes. What the fuck's wrong with you? Oh, sorry. I'm serious. I'm sorry. If she didn't pick one of the princes, then she must be a lesbian.
That's right.
Fuck you.
She doesn't want an arranged marriage.
Fuck off. I'm sorry.
She must like chicks.
I'm sorry, Logs.
Or Noah's DreamWorks. Okay, now I'm
fucked up. Pixar.
Sorry, Logs.
Say F word.
He joins us for top five movies you loved when you were 9.
Gil's a good kid.
Fuck. So dumb. So stupid. I thought, you know what I thought it was going to be? From later in the episode when you talk about throwing a baby in a fire. That was brilliant.
What?
Gil, have you ever seen whatever the movie was? Throw a baby in a fire.
I don't recall that.
What? How did you recall? Logan, this please tell me you recall that.
Yeah, I do recall. I'm just trying to remember what movie that was from.
It was so
that
movie was... you loved when you were 9, Anderson. Have you seen that? Gil is like, no. He's like, let's throw a baby
oh, Beastmaster. Rip Torn throws a baby in the fire. He does. He totally does.
Ah, brilliant.
That was my
Logan,
number
did
four.
Did you edit that?
Yeah,
who cut that together? Listener like suggested.
I cut that together back when the episode happened.
But a listener suggested it and you...
Yeah, a couple of listeners just suggested...
Awesome.
In general, you guys struggling to not say the F word.
I love it.
Well, I know it was Beastmaster because I have it right here on my list. My number four leading right, was top five movies you love when you were 9.
I love that episode.
We were out of...
I wrote that one down as an also-ran.
We were out of our comfort zone. We were doing it from Nerdist. Is that where the...
It was the Nerd Melt. It was a meltdown. Meltdown Comics.
Yeah, the studio where they record the Nerdist podcast.
And we did it with Gil, who was then 9, who's probably, what, 34
he's
now? Probably,
yeah, he's retired, yeah.
But a really good kid. A super good kid. Obviously good, well-adjusted parents.
We gotta get him back
kid.
On.
I would love to. I wonder if he still does it. Does he still do it?
I just had him guest co-host another show I work on.
Mm-hmm. Does his voice change?
A little bit. It's a little deeper, but he still has that innocence that you
We gotta get him back.
He still loves Mars Attacks. He still thinks that's a good choice to enjoy that movie.
Oh, he's probably masturbating.
It's a pretty good movie. What are you talking about?
What, Brian?
He's 12 years old, probably.
All right.
Or whatever
okay,
it is.
I know, but we don't need to bring that up. Now I'm not gonna look the kid in the eye. Way to go! Remember that in Peter Brady and in Brady Bunch. When he was singing that song, Change.
That's a moment I'm familiar with. I've never seen an episode of The Brady Bunch, but I know that.
So that clip that we just heard, I guess that was what a standalone we did before actually having Gil in. So that's where we're
right.
Trying not to cuss it all through the entire
episode.
Yeah,
we're committing.
I remember we still got an explicit tacked on that episode. Yeah, once explicit, always explicit, I think is the way iTunes goes. But it was a really fun episode. We did bring it down. We were better people after that. And
we
acted like adults, and we had a good time with Gil, who was very enthusiastic, and it was fun going back, much like parents. They say that like having kids, it's like you relive your life through them. Mm. I feel like we did that for a couple hours with Gil. Yeah, like I got to go back to the 9-year-old Anderson watching film.
Yep, she saw his innocence being broken.
Mm-hmm. I had Animal Olympics was on there, Die Laughing, a movie no one's ever heard of, both from 1980. Beastmaster, where the baby does get tossed right in the cauldron, 1982. Time Bandits, 1981, was my number two. And number one for me
throw a baby in a fire.
Was Ringo Starr's Caveman.
Oh.
With, I think Lyle Alzado?
Yeah, I think he was in that. Number four for me. This... top five I really enjoyed because it represents a philosophy I have with movies. I've never walked out of a movie. I've never actually left a movie before it starts in the theater.
What? Before it starts?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I've never left a movie before it ends in the theaters. And we did top five good scenes from bad movies because I will go see bad movies and watch the whole goddamn thing because if there's one good scene, it's worth talking about or it's worth mentioning. It's worth saying, for example, my number two, Ace Ventura 2, was not a good movie. It had a great scene. And when you laughed when I showed you the rhino scene, him exiting the rhino, the way you laughed made it all worth it. So
good scenes from bad movies?
We also did a top five bad movies with good endings. Like we've done a few of these, and I love when we can say, hey, this is not a good movie. It would normally not come up on the top five, but it has this one good thing going for it. Maybe consider checking it out on YouTube or something. Yeah, I like when we can do that. My top five that list was the video game scene from The Beach, the snake feeding scene from Road Trip.
Just before we just gloss right past that, the video game from The Beach.
Yeah,
that scene,
great scene.
One of the worst things I've ever seen in the history of cinema. Yes,
what are you talking about?
It's right up there with the Quidditch in Harry Potter 1.
That was bad.
Both of them equally like hairs on the back of the neck standing up, feeling ashamed to be a human being. Awful.
Are you thinking the right movie?
Yes. Where all of a sudden he's like jumping around. It's Danny Boyle at the height of his gayness.
Also, the snake feeding scene from Road Trip.
I shouldn't say gay.
The music video scene from Southland Tales, which I assigned to you very early on.
Absolutely fantastic.
Great scene.
Great scene.
The rhino exiting scene from Ace Ventura 2 still makes me laugh. And I may have been hard on Zodiac. I said the basement scene from Zodiac. I don't think Zodiac's a bad movie. It's just not quite as good as I had hoped and not as good as the rest of Fincher's movies. So that was my number one. Anderson? Although, no, I have to hear another clip.
Yeah, it was number four for you both,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, back in when this podcast was recorded from an orange couch, Brian conceptualized a bit called Better with Bean.
Yeah.
In which he puts himself in various popular roles of films that
I put
year.
Michael Bean in the film.
Brian plays producer of rewriting and
re-releasing,
yes. Yeah.
However, when we stopped doing the podcast there, 2 years went by before Brian brought back Better with Bean. Okay. This clip is from Top 5 Oscar Locks of 2013.
Oh, shit.
And it is the return of Better with Bean.
Oh, no.
Don't act like you're upset. You're very happy.
I'm embarrassed.
Mr. Bean back. We can play some of this here. Interview for him, especially the shortlist part.
From your lips to God's ears, which, by the way, are actually Bean's ears. how much would you, how excited would you be to see, stop laughing at me, how excited would you be to see Bean of the Southern Wild? Bean of the Southern Wild! Mm-hmm. In this movie, Bean stops.
That's so stupid.
All right. Cut this out.
What does Bean do?
In this movie. Logan, you change your opinion on this episode.
It's slowly turning around.
Not so slow as it turns out.
What happens to
Michael
Bean?
Michael Bean, you know, that's what happens to him. It's what happens to Hurricane Katrina. He single-handedly stops Hurricane Katrina. He stops the levees from breaking and saves thousands of lives.
And how does he do that?
It's a superhero movie.
No, he goes back in time and he warns the government to have FEMA ready.
Oh, he's a time traveler?
What?
No. I need more action. Like him stop, like holding.
No, like Superman?
Come on. Like physically holding back the levees.
You know those things in the bathroom to dry your hands, but they don't work? Well, Superman's does.
I don't know what that means.
That's Richard Pryor in Superman 3.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Anyway, Bean of the Southern Wild. That'd be a nominee for Best Picture also. That was very dumb.
You're enjoying it now as much as you were then. Quick correction retraction.
How can people want that to go away?
John Matuszak, not Lyle Alzado. John Matuszak in Caveman.
He is
also
there.
Never knew this. He played Sloth in Goonies. Who
really?
Knew?
Heavily made up.
Yeah.
Not, John Matuszak was not
too much makeup.
Really?
Didn't use too much.
Was he weirdly deformed?
No. Football player.
Number three. For you. Go first.
All right.
Let me go.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Okay. Unless you feel strongly about it.
I really liked our movies about movies. I thought that was
That was a good one. Did I write that one down too? I did. God, that's a good one.
But I didn't like
page,
it,
bro.
Didn't like it as much as Badass Bitches.
Badass Bitches was good. That's old school right there.
Inspired.
That's one we did back before we did a podcast and then we brought it back.
Right. It was worthy good of call, bringing man. Back. Badass yeah. Bitches was a great one because I got to talk about some of my favorite femme fatales, as I call them. Or just, you know.
Was the one for Cocaine Chicks Cowboys on there?
That you want to want to. That was.
Or was that Villains or something?
She came in somewhere. I remember we were really quite concerned because she had such far reach. Yeah, such and so much power. And I remember I got a number. It was back when I still knew what tweet was. I don't know what tweet is anymore. But I got a number of tweets letting me know that she died.
Okay, thank God.
Esmeralda or whatever her name was.
Or did she? Who's on your list?
But
Badass Bitches.
Not to to do the full list, but here we go. Lola from Run, Lola, Run, number five. Mm-hmm. She knows how to run.
That's right.
Good, badass bitch. Samantha Kane, Brian, from The Long Kiss Goodnight. I think this list might be updated.
Oh.
It might need to be updated. Jordan O'Neill. Played by Demi. I will not say Demi ever, even though I just did by mistake. Demi Moore and G.I. Joe. Suck my dick! That was badass.
That's pretty badass.
Badass. Talking about G.I. Jane. And Lilu from The Fifth Element. Holy shit, was she a badass? I mean, she was an element and a badass. Number one, though, not much to your chagrin, as I say, Vanessa Lutz from Freeway.
Yeah. Reese, not Freeway was that bad.
Reese Witherspoon. Oh, no,
Freeway 2.
Yeah, the reason why I made you suffer through Freeway 2 is because you were talking about how bad Freeway 1 was. How dare you?
More on that later.
How dare you?
Number three for me. I really enjoyed top five characters to have a beer with. That was a good episode because it made you really think about the characters and think about hanging out with them outside the movie, like what it would be like and like if you wanted to spend time with them and how much you like these characters. Like, I like this character. Do I want to be personal friends with this person? Do I want to get to know them? Or
what
am I
was
good?
Your list?
My list was Arthur from Arthur.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he was going to buy. He's drinks are on him.
I see your cheap
fucking rich. Yeah. Bluto from Animal House. Trent from Swingers. Mary Jensen from or Something About Mary. That was an inspired choice.
Who?
Mary from Something About Mary. Cameron Diaz.
Oh, Cameron.
Yeah.
Because she eats hot dogs and
she's a
beer
drinking chick. She loves football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number one be Rick Blaine from Casablanca. Rick from Casablanca. Think about that. You're sitting in the.
Why?
Because he's a fucking classic, man.
Play it again,
bro. He's wearing the white tuxedo and he owns the bar. He's the owner of Rick's Americana.
Other than Mary, despite the cum. I wouldn't want to spend any time with any of those
people.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I guess
Bluto, imagine how annoying he'd be.
He'd be great.
Another round!
Life of the party.
Be passed out after, like, the first beer.
Guzzling Jack Daniels out of the bottle.
All right, where are we at?
I just finished my number three.
Cool. All right. Well, the third favorite clip from our listeners comes from the top five dramatic actors in comedic roles.
Well, that's a good one, too.
And this is Anderson Flick-Fessing, Just Friends.
Oh, no. Again, we didn't like
I'm
it.
I'm obsessed with that one scene where, like, he's riding his bike away, and it's just like this one girl. Like,
and he quotes Springsteen. It's a town full of losers, and I'm pulling out of here to win.
You can almost see them watching the AD offset, like, say, okay, now here's a part where you're all going to start dancing inexplicably. There's no music, nothing. This one girl, like, she jumps out in front, she starts doing like the water, the sprinkler.
The sprinkler.
It made no sense. And there's like one really awkward guy starts doing the washing machine, but he's looking at the guy next to him who's doing it better. It was the worst, the worst. First 30 seconds I've ever seen, Brian.
That happens a few times in the film, though. Like when the kids decide they're ice skating and they're playing hockey, they decide they love Dusty and they go, yay! And then they just go, boo!
Yeah, I can see you laughing at that.
That's hilarious.
It's not. I don't want to sound too fucking douchey here, but there was not one piece of art in that entire movie. Not a single piece of art. Nothing.
I appreciate that.
Nothing. It was a bad television show that went on and it would have been funnier with a laugh track. It was the
ooh, sniff tracks.
You know what? It's like, you know, all those horrible NBC sitcoms and shit that are on like prime time right now.
Yeah.
It's like, it was like that without a laugh track.
This should be our next sniff track.
For 90 fucking minutes. No, it shouldn't. Oh, maybe for that one scene. I'm strangely compelled to that scene. I must have watched it. I'm not kidding. A dozen times. I just kept rewinding it, and I was watching each time. I was watching different people.
It was like the scene from the Charlie Brown Christmas where they're all dancing on the stage. The one guy's going like that.
Brian, no one can see what you're doing.
It's all for us.
All right, it is all for us, Brian.
Didn't Anderson scream, "Why are they dancing?" at one point?
Or not in the Flick Fessions. It may have been later in the episode.
It must have been later when I was talking about it some other time. Why are they dancing?
Yeah, later in the episode, we are going to do the top five movies that we've assigned each other, which I, for whatever reason, thought was... That's actually what I have in my Flick Fession box at the top, all right? So I was trying to prepare.
You're on track.
Professor Bishop. Hey, Do what? Not.
You're on track.
Patronize. Not in any kind of mood.
Trying to make you feel better.
Well, you're not. God, you'd be a horrible parent.
How am I? Why is that
bad?
You'd
be a terrible. Your child would masturbate, starting at age 8.
What? What does that have to do with anything?
That's childhood trauma. Huh. Looking up to you as a dad.
They have to be yelled at in order to climax.
That might be one of the worst insults I've ever said.
That's really awful. I feel like I'm being a nurturing father.
Your theoretical child would begin self-soothing at 8 years old because of the childhood trauma.
I feel like I'm being a nurturing father.
I'm going to whip that out next time I'm in an argument with some douche at a bar.
Are we doing our entire top five in this segment, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm excited about the top two. I feel very strongly about the top two.
Okay.
Anderson?
Oh,
number two for you.
Let me see. What's worthy? This was.
You're dying.
What? What happened?
Number two for me.
Yeah.
Oldie but goodie, Brian. Mm. I love top five prison films.
That was a good one.
Top five prison films.
It was really old? Was that Ace era or was that this era?
It was all eras.
Okay.
I think it's the one that we've done three times. It's like the movie that keeps getting remade.
Wow.
I think we did that.
That's the list that finally got me to see Animal Factory.
I think it's what we did it in 1971. I think we did it Ace, and I think we did it now.
Wow.
Did we do it now?
We never repeated one from Ace to now, so we must have done it in one of those two.
Time to do prison films again.
Yeah. It was a good episode. What's your list? Oh, remember when we were on my original list, I had Chicken Run?
Yes.
It upset you very much.
It did upset me. A lot.
Stand by it.
Brian, don't close your eyes.
Stand by it.
If everyone could just see.
Smugness. What's on your list?
All right, Animal Factor 2000.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
A movie that everyone has bad skin in.
And it's true. They all look weathered.
That film also came up on another top five that we did. Female impersonators or
cross-dressing
performances? Yeah. Mickey Rourke. Yeah. Not possibly. Mickey Rourke.
Well, that was recent.
The actress. Yeah. Yes. Number four, Papillon.
That's one I still haven't seen.
1973. You need to see Papillon.
Do I see Papillon?
Yeah.
Okay.
How have you not seen Papillon?
I saw Midnight Express semi-recently.
It means French. It means butterfly in French. Right. Yeah, Steve McQueen. Not the black director.
No, I'd be odd if he was in it as like a 10-year-old
child. Do you think that we're
going
to get to a time, you think Steve McQueen, the director, is going to get big enough to like, when people say Steve McQueen, they think of him?
No, Steve McQueen's an icon.
I don't know.
It would be quite a feat.
Mm-hmm. Dustin Hoffman's also in that. Not the black director,
Hoffman.
But
the old white man?
All for One, also known as Return to Paradise. Oh, that's a good one.
I don't remember that at all.
Return to Paradise? You don't remember that?
No, I remember talking about
that. Joaquin Phoenix?
No.
No?
Let's check that one out.
And what's his fuck? Well, what's the guy's name in... God, I'm bad with names.
You really are.
It's embarrassing. This one's a bad one, too.
Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio.
No. No.
Sean Penn.
No, he's in the new True Crimes.
Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, is that him? Okay. Yeah.
Vince Vaughn, tough name to come up with.
I was going to say, pretty obscure. I just talked about literally Trent from Swingers.
Yeah, I know. Also known, Return to Paradise, All for One was what the original title. Murder in the First, Brian. Action, reaction. Oh, I love that prison film so good. Murder in the First, 1995. Okay. And number one for me, Midnight Express.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Hayes. Billy Mays? Billy Hayes.
Billy Hayes. Billy number Hayes. Two for me.
Billy, no.
Usually I don't remember. This is interesting for a couple of reasons. Notable for a couple of reasons. Number one, this is back from the Ace era. Number two, I don't usually remember whose idea a list was. Sometimes it's the listener's, sometimes it's yours, sometimes it's mine. Sometimes it just comes up.
Logan, or sometimes.
I don't know who that is. Sometimes it just comes up. This was one of my ideas. And by the way, Christ. my number one, one of your ideas.
Oh, okay.
Number two, though. Top five almost awesome movies. I love this list because it, number one, we still talk about almost awesome. It's in the film vault lexicon. That still comes up on an almost episode by episode basis. We talk about almost awesome movies.
We do.
And it's a.
Well, there's a lot out there.
There's a lot out there, and it strikes.
Most movies that I see these days are almost awesome. I shouldn't say that. About half.
Half of the movies we see are no good.
Hmm.
No?
No, because, I mean, we have a lot of ways to figure out if a movie's
worthy
or not.
That's true. We have a weeding out process. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. A lot of critic scores.
That's a good point.
It's rare that I see a movie unless you assign it to me. But it's rare that I see a movie that's just pure dog shit.
But that's a good point. And I think I speak for you when I say that I want every movie I see to be good. I want every movie I see to be awesome. I would like every movie I see to be fantastic. And it's a lot of movies sometimes where you go with either high hopes or it's almost there. You can tell there was something there and you remember it and it's worthwhile and you want to recommend it, but you can't say this movie's awesome. It's almost awesome. It's almost there, but it's just not quite a five-star movie.
Would you say, and you're probably the wrong person to ask for this, but would you say that now we're closer to movies being almost awesome than we ever have been? I say that like, if we watched movies at the same amount of movies a week back in the 80s, like back when Ebert was doing it, I think we would come across a lot more difficult to stomach movies. Like we would be laughing and making fun of movies a lot more than we do on this on the show because there is so much good out there right
sure.
now.
Sure. That's a good point. I remember when I back when I was years ago when I was looking for shopping for a new car, I asked Adam, who's a car guy, Corolla. I was like, hey, what do you think about, I was thinking about getting a Hyundai Sonata hybrid because I live far away from work.
You're just we're trying to wedge in a story about Corolla here and he's going to say,
it's what he said. That's what he said. He's like, everything's good nowadays. I mean, you really can't go wrong. Every car made is at least above average. Maybe not be great, but it's
lemons.
And so it feels like every movie made nowadays is at least technically proficient. It's at least hits the check marks of being good. I mean, obviously there are stinkers. We know that, but I'm saying that this feels like
the worst movies made nowadays are the ones that are just out there to grab quick cash.
Yeah, a one like week only kind of thing.
The Get Hard that just came out. That's a prime example. I mean, it's
Ride Along.
Quick. Yeah,
any Kevin Hart movie.
Any kind of like where they're trying to get as many weekend moviegoers in there at once just for the first opening week. And this is one where you see the trailers for and tons of billboards. When you see a huge campaign like that, and then it's just disappears and you never hear about it again until 2 months later when it's out on DVD or video on demand.
But it feels like if you go to your multiplex at almost any time, you can look at the movies playing and half of them are going to be at least good. I mean, they're not great, but
at
least
comes with, you
know,
education and people growing up with full access to all the movies, whereas before, like, you'd go see them in the theater and then if you didn't see them in the theater, it's gone forever. Mm-hmm. And then after that, VHS tape, if you could track it down on VHS.
Rent it.
And nowadays, it's like anything you want. Yeah. Turn on your Apple TV, you can watch it. And kids are growing up.
So many movies come out at the same time on at home versus in the theater. Come on the same day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we have number two for... Oh, no, we have a clip, don't we?
Yeah. Our number two clip is our oldest, yet probably our most referenced clip.
Oh, no.
And it's going to be a little meta because it's a clip of you guys listening to a clip.
Oh, no.
It is?
And it's you guys going over, giving commentary for the first ever time you recorded an episode.
So this is an episode of Film Vault where we listen back to the first time we ever stepped in the studio together.
And at the time, the show was called Real Beat.
So... oh my god, this is hard to wrap my mind around. This is like Looper.
That's right.
All right, so wait, hold on.
It's more like Inception.
The episode that
the clip is from an episode
from. Okay, I know the clip you're going to. So that's from like I'm just trying to get the times right. 2003, I think, is the clip that we were listening to. But us listening to that clip is from what era?
About 2009, 2010,
2010. We launched in 2010.
Sorry, yeah, 2010.
All right,
here we go.
Yes or no? Is his the best comeback story this year?
Give me some other comebacks.
What about your boy? What about your boy, Daniel Day-Lewis?
Well, that... now, Brian is saying, what about your boy?
Your
what
boy.
I remember that really well, and actually, I gave you crap about that, and I would quote you often.
Sure. Yeah.
I think that's about the peak of your excitement on this episode. What about your boy? You were just hoping that I was going to forget Daniel Day-Lewis, so you can... That was like... Total ESPN moment for you.
I guess so. I'm trying to remember what... I think Pardon the Interruption had just come out within like a year or two.
Well,
like,
you told me you kind of based this show around
Well, the format, I mean, the format is brilliant. I'm shocked.
What about your boy?
Yeah, I'm shocked that more shows haven't copied the format better. But I always thought a movie version of PTI would be really good, which is what I initially tried to make this show. And... screaming back and forth at each other was a product of that.
I'd also like to point out that this is both self-destructive for our show by playing this and totally self-indulgent.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Not much has changed.
No,
however, we still do. I hate our voices back then.
I know.
I could not stand your high-pitched fucking...
Oh, back in 2003?
High-pitched Brian. That's what we could have called you.
Back in 2003?
Like, can we just hear that? Because you sound so different now.
Thank God for cancer.
Yes or no? Is his the best comeback story this year?
Give me some other
comeback. That's a man whose balls have not dropped yet.
What about your boy?
I'm like 24 at that point.
Oh, God, you're hard to stomach.
Sorry, buddy. You really.
I've grown to really like you.
The story of the film vault is Anderson fighting me every step of the way. It's that's the story.
Hearing
of the film
that clip though, hearing old Brian, sentence. Hearing the Brian of like the era where I first met him, like it all comes rushing back. It all comes just rushing back with the thumbs in the thumbs. Air. Holy Jesus!
This separates us.
If
from
I
animals.
Wasn't such a tolerant person, this show would tolerant. Exist. Yeah, this show would
it's
not
a good
exist.
Point.
Yeah.
It's a really good point.
Uh huh. But I can, and you know what? Both clips. Let's dissect for 1 second. The original opening clip. Luckily, we don't go much further in that clip because I was insufferable.
Oh, you were the worst.
Like I'm just like everything is just like yeah.
I guess so.
Just the whole like I want to kick myself in the teeth. But also the commenting Anderson on that. Not so much you, but you could hear a nervousness in my voice.
Yeah.
Because I was in the Dragon's Lair. I was over at Corolla. And
you were in the presence of a big star.
Oh, jeez.
We were also like really rushed for time with that episode. I remember watching how much time we had left to listen to the real beat. And then we had like a Corolla show taping coming up pretty soon. We were like,
I was never comfortable over there because it was like, you know, the guy who runs the place who I'm doing air quotes, let us do the shows in those studios into those tiny little lavalier mics, which I hated.
We always recorded before the Corolla show taping. So if we were running late, you would just see Corolla pacing back and forth.
That's right.
And it was just uncomfortable from the get go for me. I just, you know, I never really settled in over there. I did not like.
Hmm.
All right. Anyways.
What's your number one?
Do you remember the lavalier mic?
Yes.
And like when we did Corolla show, when we did the actual Corolla show that you work on.
That was a disaster.
We were a guest. Yeah. He just spent the first 30 minutes off air yelling at Donner about the same thing over and like on a loop. Mm-hmm. Right. And then he finally gets to us and I had to go somewhere. So I had to leave like soon thereafter. We did 20 minutes or whatever on his show of talking about the film vault for his launch. And
I don't remember that. I blocked it out.
I was holding up the little lavalier mic because it's the only way that it could sound decent because it was such a shitty setup back then, was if you held it right in front of your mouth.
Yeah.
And Corolla just like, he went with it for the first 10 minutes and then he got really mad. He's like, Anderson, yeah, you gotta hold the mic there in front of your, I'm like, yeah, Corolla, it's the only way it sounds. Sounds decent.
Yeah, well. I think we ditched those mics pretty soon after that.
Terrible. Brutal.
I think the idea was to make it more like a, like they're not even there, like a conversation, but.
Yeah, man, you're just gonna forget you even have a mic, bro. You know, you're just gonna like be a normal person talking back and forth.
Yeah, it was an interesting idea. What's your number one? What's your favorite top five we've done?
January 7th, 2011, Brian. Mm. We did my hands down favorite ever episode. What is that? It's top five most disturbing film.
Most disturbing is your favorite?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Has it changed much?
I'd have to revisit it.
Okay. What was on your list back then?
But I think that there's five that could...
That is the defining top five for you.
I love this. Because they're all mind-altering movies, right? And it's hard to find things that don't actually go in your body that alter your mind. This is... Well,
right.
Yeah, because even molestation and rape, that things go in your body, right?
Yep.
This just goes into your optical nerves.
That's right. In your memory banks.
But much like medication or, you know, physical trauma, these movies will cause... change in your biology. Start off with number five. Any list that starts off has at the bottom Solo or the 120 Days of Sodom from 1975. Right. One of the hardest.
Right. And there's four more disturbing films.
Hardest movies you'll ever sit down and watch ever. First of all, it's just that old grain, you know, with the old camera work. Quality film. A lot of money went into it, but just horrible. It was about... children eating poop, Brian. I understand that they're trying to make a social commentary about Marxists,
about
and the sadists, and the Marquis de Sade, and communism, and not even communism. What was it?
Fascism.
Fascism. Thank fascism. You. Yeah, fascism. Thank you. But it was just it went too far. Mm. Went too, not quite as far as Antichrist, though.
Mm. Which I saw.
Which you've seen. Yes. Also, you've seen Martyrs, Brian.
I have seen Martyrs.
Well done.
Yeah. Hard to watch.
I don't think you've seen number two yet.
Is that newborn porn?
Newborn porn, Serbian film. A Serbian film which also was commentary, social commentary, taking a stab at the Serbian government in place there, saying that they're making automatons and robots of their people, making them do things that they don't want to do. Newborn porn might be one of them. A Serbian film, 2010, was on my list. But number one for me stands alone, continues to be Irreversible. I'd be hard pressed, and I hope I never see anything as mind fucking as Irreversible.
Top of your head, what's a movie you've seen since then that could possibly bump off a movie on that list?
It sounds stupid de facto, but Human Centipede 2.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, I feel like that would have been
on your list now. It was tough. I'd have to look through. I've seen some stuff, but I try not to. I don't want to. I feel like I've seen enough of those things, guys. And, I get
people like send you like ideas and movies and stuff,
and then I feel like compelled, like I should watch that. Maybe but I don't want to. I'm done. Give me more warm and fuzzy stuff, guys. All right, no more disturbing. And there's a lot of slasher shit out there, and that's
torture porn.
Even the Hostels and. That doesn't count. That's the remakes of
The disturbing movies you talked about. At least the ones that I've seen are more. They stay with you. They fuck with you mentally and emotionally.
These top five. Yeah.
Of course, some are gruesome. Don't get me wrong, but those ones are sort of affecting. In a more visceral way.
The five that I just read. Like if you see those, if you see any of them, they're going to be in your head forever, and you're going to be a little bit different. And honestly, I've become a little bit desensitized to it. There was a time, Brian, and for many years. I didn't want you to see Irreversible, but I think that we've both seen enough stuff since then.
I can see how people would say Irreversible is a good movie, and you can even make a case. I could even make a case for it. I didn't enjoy it, but I could certainly respect the artistry. Some of the shots were amazing, and so in the way the story was constructed, there's some artistry there for sure.
It was so affecting though at the time that I saw it. I remember thinking I don't want people that I care about and that I know that I like in my life. I don't want them to see this movie because I feel like there's it's probably a pretty slim chance, but there's a chance that people that see Irreversible go to hell and people that don't see it go straight to heaven.
Well, you damned me then.
There's a chance. There's a possibility.
You damned me.
Hey, if I knew that to be fact, there's no way I would ever have you watch it.
That's a good point.
Because then you'd be down there with me.
I know.
You know what I mean? That.
My number one. I'm shocked this didn't come up on your list, but maybe you just don't like to give yourself credit, but let me do it, Anderson.
Oh, Jesus.
In June of 2012, you came up with a great idea for a list. And it is much like Almost Awesome Movies, it is still in our lexicon. We talk about this all the time. I don't know if we invented the term limited storytelling. I've heard it referred to as restricted narrative.
Nope. It's very different.
Those two things are very different?
Well, restricted narrative just means you stick with the main lead character the entire time. You never go to story B, or you never cross cut to another thing going on at the same time. You're with the lead character the entire time. He's on every frame.
Well, then limited storytelling is the more accurate, obviously,
I did
phrase.
The same thing with, high concept. I was thinking the high concept, Inception is
High concept is easily explained.
Right.
Die Hard. Limited story, by the way, High Concept is a good one too. Limited storytelling from June of 2011. I love the top five limited storytelling movies because, number one, I enjoyed the list and I enjoyed thinking about movies in a different way. My top five was The Poseidon Adventure, Buried, which is an odd choice, Castaway, Duel, and 12 Angry Men. All really good movies. But I learned so much from your list. I remember specifically, movies like Moon and Cube, movies that I'd never heard of, and tracked them down, and movies that I ended up loving. So I learned the most, I think, from that episode in terms of your top five. I wish we could go back and look at your top five for that. Maybe someday we will. But
what people
a belated can, thanks to you.
What? Thank you. Well, you're welcome. What people can do with limited resources and limited
restrictions.
It blows my mind.
If you don't remember,
love it.
I didn't interrupt you. Finish what you're saying.
That's all. I love that.
I do too. And if people aren't exactly sure what we're talking about, usually it's a limited number of characters. You're in one setting the entire time, like Ryan Reynolds in Buried or Castaway is mostly a limited storytelling movie.
Hey.
12 Angry Men. Assuming the 12 same 12 people in the same jury room the entire time.
I found my top five.
You did?
I found it. Yeah, there's a list out there.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't been updated in a few years.
It hasn't, but still there's a lot. You can tell that I picked most of my movies off of this list. I couldn't open the Google Doc you sent me. I didn't know how it worked. Yeah,
it's pretty
tough. I can
do
few things in this world. But I found my limited storytelling list, and Cube is not even on there. I think the Cube was on another list.
Really? Maybe a low budget.
Yeah, I think it was on low
Moon
budget.
Moon was on there, though, right?
But Closetland was on there. Rickman, Alan Rickman, and Madeline Stowe.
Just I do not remember that.
Yeah. My Dinner with Andre, Brian, which you have seen since.
No, I saw that a long time ago.
Moon.
Yes.
2001, A Space Odyssey? That must be a typo. That makes no sense at all. That's odd.
Odd that you put it on there.
I don't recall that being on there.
It's very unlimited.
Tape was on there as well. Yeah, I found some discrepancies with some of the lists. Like some of the gambling lists, like movies that were assigned that I never assigned. That never got watched.
That's not true.
There's some discrepancies. I'll show you on the list that I printed out.
Love to hear it. Logan, what's the listener's number one moment?
All right, number one moment comes from Top 5 Creepiest Scenes.
Creepiest.
And it's Anderson describing a scene from Poltergeist.
Oh, no.
The clown. The little boy, who's fantastic, has a clown, one of these fucking clowns, which were around quite a bit, like in the 70s and 80s. People used to have, my mom had something similar to this. I was sitting on our couch, and they had little bells on it, and it was this creepy clown with like striped arms.
Why do old people love clowns?
My parents aren't, well, I guess they are old, but I don't lump my parents in with them.
Sorry,
but
my grandma.
He's trying to go to bed, and he's scared to death of this fucking clown, which is sitting like, I believe, I watched the clown scene, but I forget how the clown got there. I think his mom sat it up or something, you know, like it was going to help him. So he's trying to go to bed, and he looks and at the clown right before he pulls the covers over, and he's scared. You can see him like psyching himself out, and then he looks for the clown again, over the shoulder shot, clown gone. Clown's not there, Brian. It was there months ago, Brian.
I know what you mean by clown gone.
Where could it be? He slowly but surely like does the down
under the bed,
upside down look under the bed,
and it's all clear.
Clown not there, Brian. He gets back up, Brian. Clown on top of him, Brian. It was horrific, Brian. Clown's face, the paint that they did, because the clown's face
paint,
it morphed. It's now it's evil, smiling and angry, choking boy. Oh, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Horrifying, Brian. Horrifying. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. I got it right now. It's weird.
Brilliant.
I actually have goosebumps right now. Reliving that.
Clown not there.
They did creepy. And, a lot of it's because when you're a kid, when you see this stuff, it gets burned in your brain. Sure. Like, it's creepy forever. But, like, just last week on Top 5 Drinking Scenes, and I had that number two poltergeist, when Craig T. Nelson drinks the tequila and he drinks the worm, and that thing comes out of his mouth, and then it's like, crawling away, and it looks back at him and gives that smile. Oh, it's so horrifying. It's the same kind of. That poltergeist, oh, they're making the new one too.
Yes, they
it's
are. I saw a trailer good. For it.
Sam fucking Rockwell will make it credible, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Do you think they can bring the same creep factor?
I still have not seen the first
gone.
One.
It's a creep factor that's gone. Like Ed 209 in RoboCop with the claymation.
Yeah, the very herky jerky movements.
Like that creep factor is gone.
You're right.
I haven't seen it in a long time, other than Noah. Oh, Noah. That's my number three favorite movie at Flickfest. No, I'm kidding. But Noah with the rock monsters.
That's true. The rock monsters. All right, Logan.
Before we go to break, I wanted to play another piece of listener audio.
I would love that. Do you have any also-rans, Anderson, for your top fives? Any ones you want to mention offhand?
I did a lot. Top 5 death scenes was pretty good.
Top 5 death scenes was good.
Yeah. And worst movie-going experiences, I already had that one.
I loved threats. I loved insults. I loved all the worst accents. All the ones where we had audio clips. I always enjoyed those.
The movies about movies. I kind of mentioned that earlier. That should have just been also ran. Cinema Paradiso, Barton Fink, Living in Oblivion. Anytime you can talk about those three movies on a list, it's a solid list.
Nice. All right. What do we have, Logan?
Actually, before we do the theme song, I'm going to read off the listener top five.
Listeners, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I called it the listener's top five, top five.
Beautiful.
But there's actually six because there was a tie for five.
Fair enough. Now, Anderson, do you want to commit yourself to doing whatever the number one was? We do it again at some point?
Yeah, I'm down with it.
Okay.
Sometime in the next month.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 5A is top five disturbing documentaries with our guest, Teresa Strasser.
That was excellent. That was an excellent one.
Teresa was our guest then?
Yeah. Teresa Strasser. Back on the orange couch. 5B is top five limited storytelling.
Yeah, that was great.
Number four, top five cute and cuddly creatures with our guest Allison Rosen pretty recently.
Yeah, we got, wow. Hey, look at that.
Number three, top five movies that would be better as a horror film.
That was, I have that written down because it was an interesting way to think about movies differently.
And I just rewrote everything.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That was fun, yeah.
That was a listener suggestion, right?
I really liked prepping for that one. That was a lot of fun.
That was a good one.
Number two was top five movies that need to be retired from TFE.
Which
we violated many times.
Train movies, most specifically. Top five train scenes. Brian, just blatantly, errant disregard of the banning.
Yeah, I know.
Of,
it was pretty bad.
Manchurian Candidate. I blame myself. I just let you sit there and whack.
And then they have this very odd conversation.
That's right. It's coded.
And she says, I was a Chinaman worker laying track. And he's like, Columbus has a great football team. Just an odd conversation. And I just sat there letting you do.
You know what? I realized I should have let you do all that. And then at the very end, I said, nice, Brian. Well done.
Banned.
Cut it out.
All right. Sorry. Number one.
And the number one top five list as voted on by our listeners. And also one that's been requested to be redone several times is top five most disturbing films.
What is it that tickles our fancy so much?
I know. It's like the forbidden fruit that you got to reach out and take a bite of.
See, there's some that I've banned that I won't watch, like where they actually kill animals right. and stuff. And like, you know, Cannibal Holocaust. I guess that could be on if right. we were to redo it.
Sure.
Well, what am I doing? I'm doing the prep work out loud right now.
Doing your research right
but
now.
But there's this one in particular, something about the sun, where like they put a cat in a box with a bunch of rats, and the cat may or may not have been devoured by the... I've read about too much of this shit, but I think that there's enough out there that I've seen since, some of which I haven't even brought to the show because it's just too much.
Mm.
But yeah, I guess we're going to get all fucked up again next week.
Well, no, that's not next week. Next week is summer.
Week after summer. Oh, you know what? We're going to need a little cleansing of the palate.
Yeah, this is going to be a little ways down the road because next week's summer preview, week after, whatever the listener number one is for most desired. That's our commitment.
Oh, I thought this was the commitment.
We're committing to both.
Oh, okay.
Disturbing films will come in a little while, but not too far.
Yes.
I'll make sure we do it pretty soon.
Put it on the list.
All right, before we go to break, I'm going to play a theme song as sent in by listener Judy, and we've played this one before, but only once. So here's Judy's theme song
remember,
for the
this
film
is
wall.
Great.
Do you like to watch movies, or do you like listening to people talking about watching movies? Then listen to the Film Vault. Do you like Anderson, or do you like Bald Brian? 'Cause they'll tell you which movies are good to watch. Logan, he does the sound. Anderson says stop fucking around. Transformers is the only movie Brian likes. I'm listening to the Film Vault tonight. I'm listening to the Film Vault tonight.
Lovely. Lovely and accurate too. 100%
that
accurate.
That's a good airplay.
100% medically accurate.
How weird would it be if you're driving down your scanner?
Like, confused.
What was her name again?
Judy.
Judy, yeah, fantastic.
88%.
I remember I was a total asshole at the time. I'm like, sounds like Judy recorded that in her bedroom, and I was because you were like going on and on about how great it was, and it was great, fine song, but once again, felt like I was a little too self-congratulatory talking about how great that film song about us it was. So I was talking about how it sounded like she made it in her bedroom, and I felt much guilt and horror driving home. What an asshole! And then I got an email from her. I think like right after the episode aired, and she's like, yes, Anderson, I did record that in my bedroom. Good call. I'm like, yeah. And then I got a little tantalized. I was picturing Judy sitting on her bed, singing about us. Yeah. I'm like, hey, look at that. Check that out. Judy.
Anderson says, quit fucking around. Coming up next, I'll look back at the gambling.
I'm prepared for this one.
Okay. Oh, Anderson.
Mm.
Next week on Blue Apron.
Mm-hmm.
Next week on Blue Apron. Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo celebration. You want to hear what's on the menu?
Jalapenos?
Oh, you better believe it. Pulled chicken mole quesadillas with shredded cabbage salad and Monterey Jack cheese.
Mole is like chocolate, right?
Mole is like it's like a chocolatey, like thick roux kind of. It's like a Mexican roux, basically.
Remember the first time I tasted it, I was like, what is this in my mouth? It's horrible. And then I'm like, must have more. Weird.
Also on the menu, crispy fish tacos with English pea guacamole and P-tip salad and pork and tomatillo. Pork and tomatillo pozole with hominy, avocado, and radish. God, the menu looks so good. Blue Apron.
Flank steak with ramps, potatoes, raw shaved asparagus salad, and dill.
What is that?
What are ramps?
What are you looking at?
I must know ramps.
Where's flank steak? Oh, that's down the road. You're looking at. You're giving a preview of 2 weeks from now.
Flank steak. They call it flap steak.
They do. Some people do call it flap steak.
Called flap.
Yeah.
Flap.
Flank
meat.
Steak is correct. Guys, if you want to try these great meals in time for Cinco de Mayo, go to blueapron.com/TFV. You get two meals free if you go there. That's blueapron.com/TFV.
Hey there, friendly podcast listener. Since you're hearing this right now, you probably already know that Podcast One is the best place to find all your favorite podcasts. We've got over 200 of them, all kinds of shows, like Radiolab, Loveline, The Chive, Freakonomics, Barstool Sports, and all kinds of stars, too, like Adam Carolla, Steve Austin, Dan Patrick, Brandy Glanville, Dr. Drew, Rich Eisen, Kathy Lee Gifford, Chael Sonnen, Chris Jericho, Sean and Larry King, and so many more. Now, since you're the smart one who's already here, you need to tell all your friends that they can find these shows at PodcastOne.com. And of course, tell them to download our app so they can take their favorites with them wherever they go. That's podcastone.com. You probably even know how to spell it. Podcastone.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Logan, who's about to play another compilation. Does somebody send in? Yes?
Hang on.
Oh, sorry, buddy. Do you want me to do the other thing first?
No, we can do this now.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, dude. I know you're playing music.
1 second.
Ramps are wild leeks, for those of you wondering.
Really?
Figured it out.
Wild leeks. You know, yeah. Leeks are like onions, like big,
yes,
giant
they're
onions.
Giant green onions.
Trying.
All right. This last piece of audio,
the ramps
that I have to play,
you must know,
comes from listener Bran Nelson, and it's a compilation he put together specifically for our anniversary episode.
Hey.
What's his name?
Bran Nelson.
Bran, thank you, Bran.
And it's a collection of his of some of his favorite moments. Now, it's a 3 minute clip.
What?
But
beautiful.
He has a full 10 minute version online that I will post a link to on AndersonandBrian.com.
Okay, AndersonandBrian.com. You can hear the entire 10 minute highlight reel, the sizzle reel. That Brand put together. Thanks, Brand. Let's hear the highlight version.
I don't use condoms. Condoms are for fags.
Fuck me hard, Enner.
Bag of shit.
What up, my nigger?
Wow,
what's a nigger?
Come on, Brian.
There's an apostrophe in front of that
keep
N.
It clean, dude.
There's an apostrophe
the wrong
in front
show.
Of that N. I'm like, I'm gonna make love to you 2 days from now.
Well,
Logan, turn Anderson's mic down for a second.
Luke Besson.
Never seen the professional. See, that's exactly why I told you to do it. It's exactly why. I'm going to give you a couple of pipehead niggers.
Oh, my God.
I'm quoting a movie. I'm quoting a film. I'm quoting a film.
Damn it. Twice, Brian.
Joel Schumacher made this movie.
Schumacher,
I'm going to fucking punch you right in the nuts. Right in the balls. It feels so good.
They're called newts.
Well done.
Is that my daughter in there?
You said,
is that my daughter in there?
Don't do that. No. Cut, Logan, cut. Please cut that out.
I apologize. Yes, Ann?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Ann?
Good enough.
Go ahead.
You're learning.
Next movie.
Fuck you. How dare you? Condescending guns. You are such a... Oh, by the way.
I knew it was going to get you eventually.
I wish I had not said that. One of the comments was devastating that I read on our AndersonandBrian.com. Listen to the last episode with my 10-year-old. We loved it.
Except?
No, it stopped there. But I'm like, all right, I'm striking the C word from the record. No longer saying that. But it's really hard sitting across from this guy.
Yeah.
You're learning. Fucking condescension.
I did it again!
I'm sorry, 10-year-old kid. Hey, don't talk like me, though.
Unless I'm only trying to provoke you. So I don't think I'm actually trying to teach him anything. Well, you are learning.
Number 5, Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Nope, that's wrong. Now, I was hoping our listeners would submit ones that were wrong, and that's
such
wrong.
A smug little prick.
That's
fuck you in the ass, you faggot-ass white boy. You know what? That AI was really great. Could have been even better if Kubrick didn't fucking ruin it.
I don't like the word, but he's a cunt.
Put it in, honey.
Yeah.
Put it in.
Are you wet?
It's like 30 minutes into the movie, Brian, and they start going, oh, no. Is this the part where he gets killed? No, you fucking stupid whore!
Chaos reigns.
Thanks for nothing, Trayvon. Ruining Anderson's summer.
Fuck you.
The one thing you should know about me is I'm incredibly smug.
I really can't see anything good that came out of me watching this film, except that I now have a clear winner as for the worst film ever.
that might be it.
Wow. There's a 10-minute version of that. I'm going to find it right now.
I'm sure you will. You probably beat off to it, too.
Yep.
Well, he has some recent stuff there, because he had the DeAnford quotes.
Wow, strong.
The Mike Tyson. Don't bring
apparently,
back strong,
apparently,
Brian.
Apparently
we're
used,
done with
apparently
strong.
I used the N-word a couple times.
You know what? Here's how dumb I am. My first thoughts were like, oh, this is awesome. A listener put together a compilation of our show. You know what?
What?
If we ever become free agents again, which I'm sure we will. Maybe use this like a little sizzle reel when you said sizzle. We can send this out to like maybe a few affiliates.
Some potential sponsors.
Possibly.
Hey guys, here's a representative sample of our show.
Thanks, Brand, but that's good for absolutely nothing. Opens with me using the F word 4 or 5 times, followed with Brian saying the N word. Jesus.
There was cunt in there. There was.
Like, I think if the president of iTunes.
You said faggot.
Hurt Brian.
He did.
The president of iTunes, if he just heard that, he'd be like, yeah, that whatever that show is, it's not going to be on our network. It's not going to be available on iTunes. That hate speech.
That's right.
I think the most offensive thing in there is, thanks a lot, Trayvon. You ruined Anderson's summer. I don't even know what that was in reference to, but that's awful.
Get that drop. It's on the tenure episode right there.
Tenure? Oh, tenure.
That's right. Tenure.
Yeah.
Let's do the, Jesus. Oh, before we get into the gambling segment, a
my
big part
wife,
of
what? My poor wife. Maybe these things are out there. This is essentially as bad as like a picture of me just like banging an animal. I mean, it's almost as bad as like a picture of me with a sheep on my cock. You know what I mean?
Do you really think that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, come on, buddy.
He's out of context. Yeah, it's bad.
I think everyone knows it's out of context, though. Whereas the sheep thing would be hard to explain.
That's true.
I was like, that's out of context.
You have no idea how cold my wiener was. All right. Okay. Fuck, the bars are closed.
Sorry, damn buddy. It. A big part of our show, Anderson, those first 5 years was Red Light, Green Light, one of the few segments we did on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, we try and clean it up for Miss Moves before she retired.
We tried.
We would try. I think we did behave ourselves a little bit better.
She kept us in line.
A little bit.
And a big thanks to Miss Movies for being a big part of our show for those first 5 years. And she stopped by in her free time because we do the show very late and she has children. She can't obviously stop by when we do it. Stopped by the studio and had a small chat with her. So let's hear a little bit of that. Welcome back, everybody. What would a 5-year retrospective anniversary episode be without a big, big part of our show?
Diana Vandekamp, welcome to the
program. No, how dare you. Miss Movies is here, too.
Hey.
The OG. Happening? It's the OG Miss Moves.
OG. It says OG in the parking lot, and I'm
it
like,
does.
What is
it's
that?
It's a DG, definitely. It's original, it looks like okay.
Original
like
gangster
OG.
Is what it stands for.
Right. Miss Movies is here to recap, look back at the long, colorful history of Red Light, Green Light, which you originated on the show, and you're a big part of the show and a big part of, I think, our limited success, and we had to have you in to look back on some of your segments.
Miss Movies, right. Help me understand where that came from. Was that something that you created? I can't remember.
I didn't create that. Brian created that.
But I said to her, I was like, we should do the segment. You're Miss Movies. You should bring the movies in and here's how it's going to work. And as far as the audience knows, you're Red Light, Green Light.
Yeah. And at first, when he first approached me about it, I
was
like,
who are you?
What? No. I said no, because I was like, I think you'd rather have my husband be on the show. He's much more verbal and interesting.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He is much more verbal.
So you were Miss Movies before this. It's not like you were birthed out of the
correct.
Film.
Correct. I started
you'd probably
my
be
website.
Miss Films if you were.
You had hitormissmovies.com, right?
The original hitormissmovies.com.
Yeah.
The OG.
Now
a lot of people have a wink
back.
To that.
It's
now
back.
It is. A lot of people like to wink to that.
Okay.
Now it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
oh, is it back or did you get it back?
It is back.
Why are there still nipples all over it? I was
it's
there
not.
Just a couple nights ago.
Well, maybe there are. Who knows? Okay. I haven't checked it in a while.
All right.
Anyways, I started that in 2004. And
we started this not too long after. No,
we'd already been doing fake film vault movie beat. Anyways, enough about us. Let's get to Miss
But
Movies.
Isn't that what I'm here for?
You hate yourself so much. You bring it up. You're like, how did you get started? It's enough about us.
Brian, here's the deal. I don't hate myself. I hate people that love to talk about themselves. I hate it.
Well, we're not talking about ourselves. We're talking about
Miss
Movies.
Yeah, but then we started talking about ourselves there for a split second.
Good point.
If you recall.
Yeah.
So anyways, you look ravishing tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you look very cute. Cute as a button.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I was up
cuter,
way
I would
late
say.
Last night.
As well as attractive.
So.
How are the kids?
It's always good to be
How's
pretty
the movies
and
family?
Pretty and cute.
How's the movies family?
Movies family has been ill.
How's retirement?
Getting better. retirement is good. Yep. Okay. It's doing well.
What I was going to say, Miss Moose, is that if you were asked to come in with a bountiful amount, a cornucopia of fantastic things and lovable memories from your career on the Film Vault, yes. You came in, you're like, one time I came in and the temperature was nice in the room.
Yeah, I could do that.
That was one time.
That was sure. Like the one thing that she had that was nice about the show. Her one nice memory was
it's
the
all
temperature.
Been pain and misery.
It was like a brisk 76, not too cold, not too hot, nice. Didn't have to take off my jacket or look for one. That's your one fond memory.
Yeah? There you go. That's hilarious because when I came in here, I was like, it's so cold.
She's like, it's freezing.
I did want to talk about the first time I was on the Film Vault with you guys, but that was way before 5 years because I started in 2007.
Was it over the phone?
That was over the phone.
Okay.
Let's talk about that for a second. Remember how you hated me?
Well, the first time I was on the phone with you, we went along well. We got together pretty well.
Okay.
We were talking about how Danny Bonaducci was on The Soup that night, and he was like promoting probably the Adam Carolla show.
I can't believe you remember that.
I remember bringing up Hotel for Dogs. That's one of the ones that I had presented.
Did that become a movie?
It did.
Yeah,
with yeah, Emma Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
No, not all chihuahuas. It's a mix. It's a mix. I think you may have said green because of the fact that you like dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that.
Not thinking that those dogs are probably going to be terribly misused and mistreated and probably hurt along the way.
Sure.
Animal films on animals, bad.
It's Milo and Otis all over again.
Oh, that's terrible. Ugh. They actually broke a kitten's foot to make it limp.
I know.
What the fuck? I'm sorry.
So, anyways, a lot of my stuff in the beginning was over the phone, and I totally thought Anderson was a major asshole. And as soon as I met him in the studio at 97.1, I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, Brian's
that's not who you are.
I was a little edgier back then, a little more angry with Brian, and I was still dragging my feet. So I came off even.
You hadn't bought in yet.
Still haven't, but I've bought in more than I have.
Still haven't to this day.
But yes, I recall meeting you and you being confused. And I remember I was having a cigarette out at the parking lot. You had to walk across like that moat that was at 97.1. And I remember smoking a cigarette. And I remember seeing like the look in your eye kind of change because I've seen that look a lot with people.
Sure.
Where they're like, oh, he's not a horrible person. It's just kind of part of his act. Yeah. I do it to keep people away because I'm very...
Right.
I'm a very sensitive person. I don't want to let people in because they can hurt me.
It's your act.
You see Miss Moose?
I get it. Anyways, so other things.
Other memories.
Also,
moments.
97.1 and when I was on the phone doing Red Light, Green Light was when the nickname Movie Whore came up.
Oh, yeah, Brian came up with that on the fly. I found it creative.
On the fly?
On his behalf, creative, right? But insensitive. So I've defended you, and I always ask him not to do that.
Sure. We really don't know the exact origin, whether or not.
We don't? It'll always be a mystery.
It's always going to be a mystery.
No one will ever know.
In my heart of hearts, I think you know. Hey, do you have that part in there, not to step on you or anything, but where I accused Brian of having a crush on you and thinking about you and him turning beet red? Because that was one of my favorite moments with you. No?
No.
It's a shame. That was a good one.
The truth is we had not met before. I think in the first email I looked back on when I approached you to be on the Film Vault, I think I was like, hey, my name's Brian. I'm a friend of Jeff's. Like, I don't think.
Wait a minute. Really?
Right.
I thought you were friends with her before.
Not really.
One of the reasons why I was a dick to her on the phone. It's because I thought she was associated with you.
Sorry, I mean to use his name. I think your husband may have been the one to bring up the fact that, hey, my wife has a movie website.
Mr. Movies.
Movies.
Why didn't you make this clear to me, Ms. Moves? Because that's one of the reasons why I was kind of aggressive with you on the phone.
No, it was just because we both went to USC.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's right.
I've since let off the throttle of the USC hate since the wife now goes
there.
Okay,
good.
Yes.
I'm glad.
I have to go to a fucking graduation there next month. Fuck me.
You want to come to a football game with us?
Let's all do it. Tailgate.
Yeah. The keg stands. What goes on there? What is that?
I took a picture of some notes that I did for the Film Vault back in 2010.
Oh.
And it was it's a list of movies.
Oh, please read some of those.
And what you guys rated it. So one of the ones that I thought was interesting is Caesar, which is now
Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Wait,
let's make sure we got that right, because the nerds will come a knocking and they get very upset with their Planet of the Apes. Is it Rise?
Rise.
Or was
it's not Dawn.
Dawn is the second one.
Dawn is the second. So both of you said no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can see that. I was shocked that I love that movie as much as I did.
I was shocked that Anderson loved that movie as he did.
Great little film. It's a great big film.
Mm-hmm. True Grit was also one that I brought
to
you.
That should be red.
That's what you said. Yeah. And Brian said green.
Yeah.
It's the Coen brothers. They're just wasting more of their years on drivel. There were some great moments in the movie, but I didn't love that movie.
Remake, I don't need that.
You don't need it.
And the only other one is Water for Elephants.
Oh, that was a fun one. That was one of the first ones. And
isn't
I
Just Go With It in there? Didn't I see that?
Yeah, Just Go With It is in there too.
What is that? I don't even
know. That was the...
Jennifer Aniston and...
Why would you even bring that to the table right now, Brian?
It's
she
in there.
Skipped
it became
it.
A movie.
I know, but she skipped it.
Tell me I didn't greenlit it.
Smart move. And you brought it to the table. Let's not talk about Just Go With It. Let's not. Let's not go with it.
Let's not go with it.
But I remember having a hard time getting through Water for Elephants. Well, I don't know why, but I found it particularly very funny.
But
and it's with Edward, right?
Yes.
What's his name?
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson. Thank you.
Reese Witherspoon.
Never saw. Mm.
And
never
your
will.
Favorite, mm-hmm. Christoph Waltz.
Christoph, in my life.
Thank you, Miss Movies, for coming in. And
that's it.
Yeah. Well, just
wait. I have one more.
Oh, you have more? What? What do you have?
Yes. Recently, I heard a movie being discussed on this. Here show.
Yeah.
This is unlike us to discuss a movie.
Exactly.
It is rare.
So I just, and it was expiring on Netflix, so yeah. I decided to buy it.
Brian.
I decided to buy it and send it to Anderson.
Mm. Oh!
But he hasn't said anything about it, so I guess he hasn't watched it yet.
Oh, have I not brought it up on this here program?
No, you have not.
Mm. But I did. I did send you a text, like directly, right? With
you
the picture
did.
And
the
my
picture.
Dog in the picture.
That doesn't mean you're watching
I
the
feel
movie.
Like that would suffice. I feel like, you
everyone
know,
wants
I
to know what
bases.
It is.
No.
Everyone wants to
because
know.
Then I'm going to be expected to watch it and I did flick fast it and talk about it and Troop Beverly Hills, if that's even the name of it.
That is.
That is. Doesn't need, not need to be opened.
Why not? Why not Troop Beverly Hills?
Because it
Ms.
looks.
Ms. loves that movie. She bought it for you. It's
listen,
a gift.
Listeners.
The wife loves it
there's
as well.
There's a P.O. box.
Uh-huh. Hey, yeah, there is. But
there
don't
is.
Send shit movies like Ooga Booga or Troop Beverly Hills. Don't do that.
Heard you on the Oscars after talking about a package you had got. There was no note, no letter inside. Yeah. It's funny. That happens sometimes.
It's rare.
Yeah, it is rare, but
especially
it
when it's from Amazon when they have a particular.
Yeah, it's
hard. Rare.
We're going deep down the rabbit hole with the inside baseball on this, but the point is, Ooga Booga was sent to the show, and Brian probably had a note on it, and Brian probably discarded it and didn't think twice about it.
Never,
probably happens more
never,
often than I know.
Never
now that I have a P.O. box, it's not going to happen.
Yes, you're in command.
Yes,
you're in. Thank you again, Mr. Moose, for coming and regaling us with tales of yore. And
Miss Moose,
all joking aside, thank you for being a big part of the show for the first 5 years.
You're welcome.
First 5 years, and before that as well. True Beverly Hills, would it make you very happy? I feel like would you like me to watch this goddamn movie?
This is like one of my favorite films. Yeah, my goodness.
12-year-old Carl Gugino.
I know.
Huh?
The chick from Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle, or what's that name of that band?
Yes. Yeah. Jennifer something.
Yeah. And she's also in Postal Service a little bit. She sings background. Mm-hmm. She sings duets and whatnot. Yeah.
A young Carl Gugino is
it's
in
Jennifer.
It.
Yes, she is in it.
A young who?
Carla Cugino.
Is there anything that I would pull from this and enjoy?
No.
No, then why the...
There's a couple laughs in that movie, as I recall.
There are some laughs. Yeah. There are some laughs.
Roar. Okay. Let's,
and Shelley Long does sell it in that movie. She goes all out.
Any nips?
She's very good.
Any nips?
It's a PG film.
No.
Coming up next, a look back at the gambling portion of the film vault.
Are we really doing it?
Next. All right, thanks, Miss Movies. And now we're going to finish this episode like we finished every episode for the last few years. A little bit of gambling. Well, we're going to look back at the gambling. There will be actually no gambling. Oh, Anderson. Come on, buddy.
Gravity. Not on my side.
Gambling. Mm-hmm. First time we did it was March 2nd, 2012. Anderson, you remember we didn't actually gamble on a movie. You were 5 for 5 on your Oscar locks. I was just 4 for 5. Do you remember you assigned me?
Yeah, S. Darko was the very
S.
first
Darko
one.
S. Darko was the first
one. Because I had a different idea, much like you had a different idea for Flick Fashion, where you'd come in. The early rounds of Flick Fashion was you saying, yeah, yesterday I had a chicken sandwich, sat down for lunch, and turned on TV. Channel 13 was playing a repeat of Terminator, so I watched half of that.
Sure.
Very different from what Flick Fashion was in my mind.
Right. Much like this episode. Different in my mind than it
different,
ended up being.
But better. Yeah. Way better than you could have ever imagined.
Way better.
But the gambling, I initially, when I dreamt it up, I thought, this is going to be great. First, A, I'm going to assign Brian movies that he would normally never see. B, I'll assign him movies he needs to see. C, I'll assign him movies I have no interest in seeing, but maybe, possibly, there's something good to be seen from them, gleaned from them. So I'll send Brian out like a scout. Like a scout.
Like a scout ant.
Began it with Astarco, which I had heard terrible things about, but I was hoping you'd come back and go, you know what?
Yeah.
Not too bad.
It's funny. It's you really encapsulated your attitude and set the bar very low for the gambling and assigning films.
It's come around. It's come around.
No, it's not, because you've assigned me terrible films.
No. Brian, I would hazard to guess that 5-6 of the best 10 movies you've seen in the last... since we've been doing this, are movies that I assigned you. Yeah.
No, not even close.
Classics.
Yeah, you've assigned me some movies. Classics. You assigned me some bad movies, too. You want to hear the 5 worst you've assigned me?
We're not doing this.
Yes, we are.
All right, well, then let me... Give me 5 minutes. Let me get mine together.
No, you take all the time.
I got the list.
You assigned me... By the way, the best of these 5, Sleepaway Camp. Sleepaway Camp was assigned to me.
Great. Great movie.
Fred the Movie, number 4. Number 3, third worst movie, Ooga Booga. Second worst movie, Freeway 2. And the worst movie, Anderson, was the very first one, Astarco. You assigned me, ranking these was extremely difficult.
Wait, Astarco's worse than Fred?
Fred was the second best movie of those 5. I had to think about if I was forced to see these movies again, what would I pick first? And Sleepaway Camp, far and away the best. Far and away the best of these 5.
All right, well, I'm glad that you brought that up.
Okay. The difference is, Anderson, you assign me movies you know are going to be horrible and have no interest in seeing. The movies that you don't like that I assign you are movies I hope you'll like and I think are good.
All right, I'm not going to go. I did a quick little research just now, and I got down half of one page. There's 3 pages of the gambling that I have here with the spreadsheet. And here are the 4 that I gleaned off the first half of page. So 1-6.
Let's hear it.
On the list. Got the 3 Stooges in there.
Dan's not
that
bad.
Was a delight.
So that was in theaters, though, at the time.
Yeah, makes it even worse.
Okay.
Ashamed, Brian, buying that ticket, staring someone in the eye, telling them 3 Stooges is what I desire to purchase.
Would not make anywhere near this top 5.
The worst part.
This bottom 5.
In theater, in public, laughing. Because 3 Stooges had a couple moments.
That's right.
The terrible. Change Up. Fuck you, Brian.
Change Up wasn't terrible.
Just Friends. Fuck you, Brian.
Just Friends is a great
and
movie.
Then Gone Baby Gone, which brings me
to
this.
Gone Baby Gone's a good movie.
Here's a list that we did. I forgot all about this list, but we did top 5 movies you're proud to admit you haven't seen.
Yes, that was a good one.
Yes, it was good. We did it back November 5th, 2010.
We should look back and see how many of those we have seen now.
Number 2 for me was a tie, Brian. A tie. The Town, Gone Baby Gone. Both of which I've fucking seen now, thanks to you and your gambling assignments.
You're welcome.
No, not you're welcome. Goddamn Jeremy Renner, he had a mustache in The Town.
It was very, very light.
Fuck yourself.
Very light, very light.
Number 1, Pearl Harbor. Why am I saying that? Why am I making that public?
Pearl Harbor's not that good.
I will never see it. I don't know. All right, but yes, you have assigned me some shit.
However, there have been some good movies.
You have assigned me some good stuff.
There have been some good movies. I've been assigned 5-1 some great movies. You made me see Headhunters, which I loved.
Oh, so good.
You made me see Amelie, which I loved.
How'd you see?
You made me see The Sapphire. It was a deep pull at the time.
It's a movie for you.
It was a great movie.
I saw it. I'm like, Brian's going to love this movie.
A movie I'd always wanted to see, but I just never gotten around to it. And you assigned me American Movie. Great documentary. Yes. Loved it.
Fantastic.
And I think my favorite / best movie you've assigned me has been The Elephant Man. I'm so glad
classics.
You assigned me Elephant Man.
I have you
watch
classics.
A movie I probably never would have got around to seeing, to be honest with you.
I have you watch movies that should be seen, that need to be seen.
Thank you.
By people that are talking to microphones about movies. I also had you see Gummo. Don't listen up. Yeah. Hey, Brian had me watch G.I. Joe, Retaliation. Oh, there will be retaliation. Yeah, I forgot about
bad.
That.
That wasn't bad.
Open that
It wasn't
wound.
Bad.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't bad.
Brian, it's half cartoon. It felt like I was watching Roger Rabbit.
Not a bad film. Anyway, your 5 best.
5 best. For me, over the last, we've been doing the gambling since when?
2012. March 2012.
March 2012. So it's been a little over 3 years. Look at that quick
yeah,
math.
Huh?
A little over 3 years.
Look
been doing
you,
it.
Buddy.
And Brian, you had me watch one. This is kind of a deep pull, but Casting By. Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Documentary.
About Marion Doherty.
About the art of casting and how important and detrimental casting can be to movies. So Casting By, which was available on HBO Go, I think, when
it
I
was.
Saw it. If you can track that one down and you really love movies, I think you could get the same enjoyment that
yes,
I got out of that
I
Casting
agree.
By.
A lot of movie history in there.
Number 4 for me, How to Be a Man. I really,
oh,
that's
McInnes.
A movie I would have never seen had you not forced me to. Not really a movie, the first 2 acts, but still enjoyable, and he was enjoyable. Mm. The last act, it actually becomes a
comes
movie.
Around.
It becomes very cinematic, and there's one exceptionally inappropriate, tasteless scene where he picks a fight with some black fellas, a group of black, a house full of black people.
That's right.
And the way that he picks it is quite over the head.
You want me to say what he says?
Nope. I don't.
Very fine.
Speaking of black people, number three for me was hoop dreams. I was actively avoiding hoop dreams for years.
What an asshole.
Yeah, kind of a dick. Well, it's a lengthy film, a lengthy documentary. So
it's coming up on 3 hours.
Did not think that I would enjoy, but hoop dreams. I actually got up and physically hugged you when when I came back to report on hoop dreams.
It's
and
one of my all-time favorites.
I said that was a fantastic. I thought it was going to be this. I remember mocking the movie for years before I saw it, and I thought it was going to be like, yo, throw me the rock.
It was a little bit of
3 hours of that, and it was not that at all. And I was ashamed for not having seen it to that point. Number two, R.I.P. Remix Manifesto, fantastic
movie.
That was
good.
Very different from R.I.P. Blues.
R.I.P.D.
Jesus,
that was not good.
Not talking about R.I.P.D. I've not seen nor I'm talking about R.I.P. A Remix Manifesto. It was
documentary on music sampling and DJing.
All about copyright infringement and Girl Talk was heavily. Was not very familiar with Girl Talk, but Girl Talk was a fantastic, great character study of him. And that guy just jumps off the screen.
Yeah, totally. I liked it.
His music, regardless of his music, I loved him as a character. But a really great documentary called R.I.P. A Remix Manifesto. How did you come across it? Was your friend produced it or something?
No, remember? Oh, you know what? There used to be a great channel. It's gone now. God damn it! Called the Documentary Channel, and I used to tune in there used to tune in there from time to time and just watch a documentary. And this was one that happened to be on there. I loved it.
Number one for me. I know it's recent and it doesn't seem authentic or it doesn't seem honest and sincere because it's so recent, but I know movies well enough. I know my taste well enough. I know what I like well enough to know that we could do this list 5 years from now and Wild Tales would still be on my top five. Right now, it's my number one.
I'm so glad you liked it.
It's my favorite movie you've assigned me. I probably would have got around to it anyways. Maybe not, but probably because it was up for an Oscar, so it's not like it was just lost out there. But Wild Tales is not only the best movie you've ever assigned me, but it's one of my favorite movies that I've seen since we've been doing this here show.
How about
it's
that?
I don't want to oversell it, but everyone that I've talked to that I've had go see it, they agree. They love Wild Tales.
I liked it a lot, too. I didn't know you'd like it that much, but I'm very glad you did.
I love Wild Tales. Yeah, and like before I'd even seen it, and you were telling me about it, you said, you know, this is an Anderson movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was ready to be offended.
This is a dark comedy.
I was ready to be offended. But it's a collection of six short stories.
Yep.
Each one gets a little bit longer.
Centering around revenge.
And they're all very good. Five of them are excellent.
Right.
One of them, I could take it or leave it, but it was still very good. All centered around the human beings debasing themselves and just giving into their animal
instincts. Which was the one
you
didn't like as much?
The
car accident?
No, the car accident was great. The hit and run was a little bit depressing, but
that's
still really liked it. No, I thought you meant like
not the two drivers.
The two drivers.
That was brilliant.
One of the best.
Oh yeah, I meant the hit and run.
I think the wedding was my favorite one, but the restaurant with the waitress. That was kind
of
like
that was kind of a here nor there.
It didn't really fit there. Like it was kind of squeezing, but it was all about human beings being animals, which we are. We forget because we are smarter than the next smart. But we're all animals. We're all just 3 days away from losing food and water and just becoming these characters.
Yep.
And he really drives that point home in the opening sequence where he's got just beautiful still shots of wild animals.
That's true.
Oh, it's so well done.
Such a good movie. So the Wild overall Tales. Gambling record now is I'm up 78
Gloater.
To 67. Except, despite Anderson, you won the first three and the most recent three. So you're prone to streaks.
The most recent three?
You have, and I think you're probably going to win the next one.
You think so?
I think I guessed horribly on Paul Blart, but we'll find out next week.
That's what we gambled on? I don't remember that at all, kind of. Oh, we were drinking, though. That's why I don't remember.
True. Logan, is there anything else to play or to mention?
Nope, nothing else to...
Or before,
for that we have a new website.
Oh, yes. That was the big announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New website, new artwork.
AndersonandBrian.com. Go to there and check out the newly redesigned website. Logan, you do the whole thing?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Logan's been busting his buns for the last couple weeks trying to get this thing done in time for this episode, which makes sense.
And it looks about 90% done. Like there's still a couple things you're going to do to it.
I'm going
to
be updating it throughout the next few weeks. I mean, it's. What it is now is just a new skin and everything, but I'll be adding features like I'll be adding a photo gallery full of all the listener submitted artwork.
Good.
And the show's got a new logo, right?
New logo, new art, new artwork.
Great.
Same logo.
Great. Well, yeah, no, it's a new logo. I'd call it
same
a new logo.
Same font, but new logo.
Same font, but new logo. Like we were our third inception now.
Yeah, we were calling this the red period now.
Yeah, like
that sounds kind of gross.
Yeah.
That's not good. It doesn't, only if you're thinking about girls and the
8%. Now I am.
Who aren't pregnant. Who aren't going through menopause yet.
Hmm.
once
too
a month.
Much. Yeah. Too much.
But well done, Logan. I know you really worked hard on that, and I appreciate it. Just today, I'm like, yeah, I like this, but let's try that. And he, you know, he whipped it up, and he got back to us. So thank you, Logan, for doing all that.
Yes. And, thank you to Logan for doing all that, doing everything he does. You're a great producer, Logan, and thanks for all your hard work. Other thanks to give out. What? Do you want to say something?
I was going to say new old P.O. box as well available.
Yes, I'm giving out thanks first.
Okay.
We can do that at the very end. Thanks to Mike Cole, who keeps our gambling stats. They're updated. They're very detailed with percentages and how much we won by, and it's what movie was gambled on and what was assigned. It's very comprehensive. Thanks, Mike Cole, for doing that. Trevor, we mentioned for the song.
He's a snitch.
Zen for the artwork. Previously, Zen Rankin for doing previous artwork. Gio, we mentioned, or maybe we didn't. Giovanni for helping lots of research and being an advocate for the show. We appreciate it. And of course, Miss Movies and Diana Vandekamp for helping out with Red Light, Green Light also.
And Mike Carano for keeping the lights on while your light was dimming.
True.
Yes.
Dimming rapidly. That leads me into thanks to all of our guests. Anderson, here are the guests who've been on our show. Doug Benson was the very first guest. These are not necessarily in order. Mike Carano, Mike Catherwood, Allison Rosen, the Comedy Film Nerds, Paul Scheer, Chris Gore, Petros Papadakis, Teresa Strasser, Kasim G, Gil, the 9-year-old, Bobcat Goldthwait, Michael Bean, Larry Miller, Joel McHale, Andy Dick, Steve Hofstetter, Rich DeMiro, Pete Holmes, Dave Damashek, Marshall Cook, Ricky Lindholm, and John Cho. I really, really, really hope I didn't forget anybody.
Guess you could say Tyler White.
I will not say Tyler White.
Hey, thanks for doing all that.
Actually, that's a really good point, Tyler, because I was going off of the title of the episode, but
you'll never hear it. Don't worry about it. Okay. Thank you very much for doing all that diligent research. We'd be remiss not to mention all the guests. So good on you. Thank you for that.
You bet.
You know that I'm not going to do that.
And you know who the biggest thanks of all goes to?
I don't even know how to find that.
The biggest thanks of all?
Your wife, Christy.
No.
Your dog, Charlie.
Close.
What?
The biggest thanks of all? Loaded. Goes to myself for thinking of this goddamn show. You're welcome. Uh-huh. Now, the biggest thanks of all is to the listeners. Genuinely.
Hacky. What you're saying is hacky.
No, I do. Without you guys, there wouldn't be a show. I was just about to say that. I hate the Gene Simmons thing where it's like, without our fans, we are nothing. We are nothing. But literally, this podcast would never exist without any of you, all of you, and listening.
I'd like to thank Hollywood for making films that allow us to see you and talk about you and discuss you and give us something to have fodder about. Appreciate that, Hollywood. Keep making that tinsel gold.
And speaking of the listeners, Logan, the listeners want to hear what? Their top five
future. I don't have a top five per se, but I'll just list off some of the ones that were mentioned multiple times.
Okay, make sure you add these ones.
And then end it with the one topic that was mentioned the most.
Okay.
All right, we got top five unexpected favorites, so movies that you didn't expect to like as much as you did.
We did top five pleasant surprises.
Yeah, I guess that's it. That could count.
Exact same. I don't know.
Also got top five plot holes.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
Top five nude scenes.
Yeah, we did topless scenes, but nude scenes is different.
Every time I see Mr. Skin, he says that he wants to do the show.
Let's get him in here.
And James Dean, the porn star, he says that he also wants to be on the show.
I would not like to see him in here.
No?
I don't know. Actually, he's a good guy.
You beat off to him too many times?
Yeah, it'd be uncomfortable. Yeah. Well, no, I had Michael Bean in here.
Top five musical moments. So I guess that'd be like a moment in a film with one song or so.
Sure.
Top five elderly performances.
Yeah, that's overdue for sure.
Top five all-time favorites has been requested quite a while
that's tough.
Now.
Like all-time movie favorites?
Your all-time favorite movies.
My top five? Movie it takes zero research. I kind of like that portion of it.
Got zero. Top five movie scores.
Okay, okay. We haven't done
I've
that
only done that.
No, we did top five soundtracks.
But I did scores.
I don't think you did.
I did, and you yelled at me and got very mad.
Well, that's why you should have saved it for a future episode.
Well, you just did this one. Top five movies you were assigned, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
So, you also got top five redefining performances.
Oh, like an actor did something and like changed his career?
Yeah, like an actor was kind of falling off and then did something that kind of... like
it's kind of like comebacks. Yeah,
like Birdman would be a perfect example of that.
Okay.
It's kind of like comebacks.
And the number one most requested topic as voted on by our listeners.
That we'll be doing in 2 weeks.
I'm nervous right now.
Me too.
I'm literally, theoretically nervous.
Well, Logan, if he's a good producer, would have weeded out anything bad.
Top five Westerns.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
Come again.
It's all five westerns, bro.
Going enthused.
Well, I don't know if I've seen five.
Anderson.
It's gonna be difficult.
It is not at all gonna be difficult.
You're gonna have to watch the annals of westerns. Do you understand how many fucking westerns there are, Brian?
Yeah, I know.
You understand that?
You gave me the box set of the triple pack of the Diamond, no the Dollar name. Trilogy. Dollar Trilogy.
Yeah.
Man, no name.
You know what's funny is earlier in this episode, my mind wanders when you talk, and I think about lists we've never done. And you know what? This actually came through my brain, and I quickly ushered it out. Top five cowboys. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. It'd be like Clint Eastwood five times because I don't watch westerns.
Okay.
We're fucked. We're fucked. We are fucked.
Let's do it. You got 2 weeks to watch some westerns because we're doing summer preview next week. Westward Ho! Play the music.
God damn it.
How'd that go, you think?
I think it was about 10% of what you wanted, and I thought it went.
It's 110% fine. Of what you wanted?
That's not good math, Brian. There's no such thing.
No, it was more than you wanted. That's the point.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yes, I guess it could work there. Mm-hmm. Hey, it was fine. I feel like I don't feel like I fumbled other than the opening segment there, which was not clearly conveyed to me.
I understand. I made the mistake of mentioning to you when you were drunk and two times before.
I was drunk those times too.
Thanks you guys again for downloading and listening for five solid years. We appreciate it. Go to the new AndersonandBrian.com. That's where you go to find information on the feature artists and how to become a feature artist. Also to submit some fan art. Logan, did we ever decide what we're doing for the fan art this week?
You're going to be seeing the photo of that I took of you guys on your first time the Film Ball as a podcast.
No.
What? That sounds awful.
That sounds really bad.
That's what we're putting up?
That's what I'm putting up.
Wow. The royal we. Yes, a list of all the films we discussed. You can comment on the episodes, leave a comment, tell us how much you hate us. If you want to connect with us socially, The Film Vault on Facebook, on Twitter. That's how you vote in all these listener top fives and all the things that we solicit your opinion. It's on Facebook, it's on Twitter. AndersonCowan.com, TheAfterDisaster.com. Ooh, remember the time you got in my car and I was listening to The After Disaster?
We'll be discussing that on The After Disaster.
No!
And go over to AndersonCowan.com. I have not updated in quite some time, but since we did not FlickFest this week, I needed some kind of channel, some kind of outlet, so I got Roar up there. I talk about Roar, which is a cult classic. I opened my review talking about how pissed I am that I was not made aware of this film. I don't know how the fuck I have not heard of Roar.
I don't know how, Roar either.
Roar should be household material. Everyone should know of the movie Roar with 120 lions and tigers and leopards.
Eating people.
Wounding people on camera. How this movie has escaped me all these years, it's infuriating. I'm pissed. But I discuss it on AndersonCowan.com. I'll discuss it on this here program next week.
Beautiful. For next
until
week,
then.
Big summer preview next week. Check it out.
It's going to be a good one. I also like to thank everyone who's been sending me very nice well wishes and whatnot about my dad.
Yes.
And hit me over at the P.O. box with requests and just letters and postcards and packages and shirt requests. And it's been going good. I love that P.O. box. I think it's on our new website if you want to send us anything. And hey, to another 5 years, Brad.
Here it is, buddy.
In some form or another, let's keep this train rolling.
What are we going to do?
We're going to do it every week for Van Gogh!